I'm glad you guys are coming. It's going to be fun.
I am so awesome. I am glad I caught that.
What did you catch? You didn't catch me saying that.
I'm glad you guys are coming. It's going to be so much fun.
That's not nice.
That's just John.
I just started recording just a second before you said that.
Gee, you're going to have to mark that or not.
No, I probably say it again or something. Oh,
hold on.
Whatever.
Okay, so I'll pause here and you can talk to.
Okay, so sir.
And that's how the new version of Cold Fusion would work.
It's interesting. This is now like the third or fourth version of Cold Fusion. I believe that maybe...
Well, the generators keep getting smaller. That's the beauty, you know?
But the energy output still increases?
It doubles every time.
That's interesting.
Yep. Pretty soon I'll have it embedded in my chest.
I didn't really... it's interesting that you use a vaporizer that to accomplish all this.
Gotta be green. Gotta be green.
Well, I also don't understand how you got the Smurfs in it. Hey, I am all for taking out the Smurfs, man. So
it's got to run on something.
I'm very, as I told you, man, I'm excited about that part.
They are blue. Cold is blue, right?
Right.
So there you go. Problem solved. Hey, speaking of which, did you, what do you think of Florida's new law about outlawing ceremonial smoking devices?
I hadn't even heard of it.
Yeah, they're eliminating
water pipes
as being illegal to sell.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought water pipes were just like, you know, for like hookahs and stuff.
They're for planting turnips, right? I think.
Something like that.
Or no, it's a what is this?
No, they'd be a little small for that, but
I don't know. Some of them might not be.
Well, that's true. Depends.
Well, it seems like, at least to me, it seems that Florida is moving just the complete wrong direction. I mean, I suspect that I would hope as little as 10, but probably more like 20 years, essentially a small amount of recreational marijuana is going to be it's going to be legal in most places. And my thought is, you know, make the cost, keep the cost, you know, essentially what it is now. You know, if not that I know, but if, you know, say an ounce were to be $125, $140, and it costs you $25 to grow and package it, tax it that highly. You know, get money out of this.
I have a question. Not that you would know this, but maybe somebody you know knows this. How much enjoyment can you get out of an ounce?
From what I've been told, plenty. Obviously, it depends on how you would use it. If you were to use it as a confectionery ingredient, it won't go as far.
Okay.
But
it goes far enough.
Sure. It's certainly I think it's probably more than you need for one tray. Probably two trays of brownies would be fine. I've got a cookbook someone gave me one time.
Well, because what I'm trying to figure out is, in comparison to, say, liquor or just any sort of alcohol, which can be expensive, but I don't know that it's, I don't know at that price if it's comparable, it might be a little more expensive for an ounce than it would be for,
I would say, a couple bottles of Jack Daniels. Comparable to a 175 of liquor.
Well, you mean...
doses and okay. Whatnot,
but so, but that would only cost you, say, upwards of $50 or $60, depending on what you're buying. Correct. So it's almost double then.
Yeah.
I guess, and I'm also looking at it from a taxing perspective. You can make double what you're, you know, that way in taxes. If you're the government, then you could off of alcohol. And I've said 100 times, I'd rather be around a guy that's stoned on pot than completely blasted off of his ass on Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Why?
Because...
What's the difference?
It's a much more mellow...
My experience...
It depends on the people. It depends on the person.
I would say that it depends on the person for the alcohol, but for the most part, for pot, it's doesn't depend on the person. It still has the same mellowing effect.
Okay. I would agree partly with that.
Well, I just, you know, I'm...
How does the CDC feel about this?
But don't draw.
The CDC has the CDC only believes in...
Zombies.
Limited uses.
In zombies.
Like that. Not that I would ever speak for them.
Uh-oh. I got an odd telephone coming. Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
This isn't good. This is not a good sign at all.
No, it's bad.
What's going on? Tell
us
the story.
Well, here's the good news. There's absolutely nothing wrong with my microphone.
Good.
And the bad news?
The bad news is that my machine appears to have taken it in the face like twice today.
Like a good porn star.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, it's Scott. Hi, Scott.
I'm guessing for you it is.
No, we're not talking about like a Tron version of Bukkake. No, that's not what happened.
Talking about facials?
Not talking about anything. Not talking about your own special version of wrinkle cream. No. No, basically it was...
I don't think that's a good wrinkle cream.
I've heard it is.
It comes from a wrinkly place. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, oh, my God.
It's Atkins approved.
It's Atkins approved.
I'm glad you guys are coming.
Steve Atkins. He took it one time. He liked it.
Oh my God! We've got Aaron too.
No.
Oh my God!
It's just the soundboard.
It's fucking figures.
I don't always believe.
Soft,
I don't believe anymore.
And sexy.
Well,
I want to believe, but I don't.
Wow! And that's the X-Files chick saying that.
Oh my God! If we don't believe, Aaron will die. So, look out there, believe, clap.
Clap.
Everybody clap.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I was busy typing. Hang on. I was busy typing on my machine. Rox, did you say Aaron has to clap?
No, I said everyone clap.
Or everyone has the clap?
Whoa.
Hey.
Let's just point out Scott's got the clap.
I'm eating a donut. I don't care.
Aaron, what did you drink before you ate the donut, Aaron?
Oh my God! Is this like the 6 month after party of Christmas or something?
No, it's just the donut thing was from Christmas, so that was the soundboard.
How the hell am I supposed to know? Because I'm doing something else. I'm multitasking. I can't always.
Thank God! The second there, Aaron, I thought you were saying you had eaten a donut left over from Christmas.
Lee, is that what that buzzing is?
I've eaten like leftover Halloween candy.
I had some jelly beans today.
How old were they?
The thing is, jelly beans last.
Jelly beans is her pool boy.
Wow, jelly bean.
I can just very bad tonight.
Jelly bean, I really can. Where's my mojito, jelly bean?
I do. Man, if a jelly that would be awesome.
I see Lee as like one of those like. Totally over suntanned women who hang out.
No,
with
have you
oh,
seen
wow.
Lee? Lee doesn't do tanning that much.
No, I do a little bit of tanning, but not a lot.
That's the way they do. But you know, they're in like the one piece with all the sparkles and everything, and they're all done. It's like they're rich, so they can get like the cute guys and stuff. I could see that.
How is it the guy from Ireland all the way across the sea has a better connection than Scott?
Yeah, no kidding.
You were wondering that. But trying
Scott
to be
comes from Tallahassee, the seat of government for Florida.
Oh, God. So sorry.
sake.
Well, you know what it is, Rox? It's that all the government employees are busy downloading porn and thus taking all the bandwidth.
Oh, no. Trust me. They take that shit seriously.
And where did Widge's dungeon downgrade as well?
Trust me.
I'm sorry. Did you say my dungeon got downgraded? What?
It's a sexual reference.
Since when did you start hooking up through a tin can and a string?
All right, so I was explaining. So a couple weeks ago, something weird happened with my I'm sorry, what's the appropriate term, John? Soundboard, what was it?
Mixing table?
Mixing, thank you. I didn't want to anger what's his face.
Steve.
Anyway, so I called in then. Now today, my desktop machine, which I do everything on, I came back from running errands.
Everything, Widge? Everything?
What?
Nothing. Go on. Tell your story.
He's in a mood tonight, guys. No, he's in a mood. He's being very bad.
To recap, you said you do everything on your desktop, and I said everything.
Well, I do, which is why it's laminated.
Previously on desk.
See? He's bad tonight.
This is the spinoff desktop. There you go. Yeah, it's a roll top.
Desktop
anyway, here. Came back from running errands. It had done that. Machine is still on, but the monitors are getting no signal sort of thing. And I thought, as most Windows users do, oh, it's just Windows being fucked. So let me just reboot it. Rebooted it, fine. Working along, working on stuff, whatever else. And it did that wonderful thing where I was playing like on Spotify. I think I had like 65 days of static going, and somehow Windows has this thing where it locks up and hits one note and just holds it. It always seems to find the most piercing, most horrible note it can possibly do. So that's what it did. It just really blew up. And so I realized, you know what? If I get on Skype, sure enough, this thing will fucking blow up every 30 minutes. And the fact that it did not come back up after I tried to reboot it and had to let it sit for a little while, now the desktop is in backup mode. As in, back everything the fuck up off the desktop just in case it dies completely.
See, people, now, this is why we need your money. Because Witch's machine is about to die.
And Scott's mic is terrible.
Yeah, you know what?
It's working fine, but can I have some money?
Hey, right, if we're handing it out, I'm on the list too. I'd like some money.
Didn't you?
Actually, I don't want money. I want somebody to make me the knitted
taller.
I'd love to be taller, but I'd like the knitted taller Jane hat bikini top, please. That's what I want to have made for me.
Oh, and I'll wear it. It's not the Jane hat.
It hurts to listen when you talk.
It really does, actually, Scott. Whatever it is, if somebody makes it, I'll wear it at the Fun Fest. That's what I'm saying.
Please don't.
Why not?
Okay, so...
I have boobs.
So, I'm a...
I've had a lot of people tell me they want me to wear it at the Fun Fest.
And they are the freaky sort of people that you find at Dragon Con.
And that would be Servant John, by the way. Just letting you know.
So,
I, on the other hand, have seen you damage yourself from things hanging around your boob.
But this is knitted. It's all soft. There's no sharp edges.
I don't know. There might be a tag.
No tags, no sharp edges.
There's a choking hazard.
On Facebook now. On Facebook now, uh-huh. I can't show you guys a picture because it's in a private group, but there is a photo of me burning a flag. That's awesome.
What?
Which flag?
The American.
How old were you?
I don't know. It was just it was last weekend.
You did it last
weekend? Yeah, we actually retired a flag. It was a flag retirement ceremony.
You retired? Oh, it's a Boy Scout thing.
We retired a flag, but technically not burning a flag, but taken out of context, this could seem inappropriate.
Well, you say it's not inappropriate, but when I sent it to Fox, they might have a different thing to say about it.
Nice.
Yeah. Thing put down is with the Boy Scouts, and this is probably one of those liberal, evil Boy Scout leaders. That'll be awesome.
Though technically not a flag because it was cut up in two pieces before it was burned. But
oh, even better. Desecrate that bitch.
it was.
That's how it's supposed to.
It had already been. It needed
to be on it too. To put it out.
No, we gathered the ashes and buried them. Thank you.
Is my coffee?
Oh, someone's a little bit touchy about a slug burning.
Is your coffee burning? What?
Quality.
No.
It's I don't know. I was wondering about the coffee, Scott.
It's perfect, Scott. Don't worry. I can barely hear you. It's wonderful.
Wait a minute, Scott. Are you doing it through Wi-Fi or is it direct connection?
Direct connection.
Erection?
Okay.
What?
Now.
Direction? What?
Directions?
No,
what direction?
Wait a minute.
Guys don't read directions.
Hey, hang on. I used to do tech support. Let me see if I can help with it. Scott, is it direct connected to an internet device, or have you like plugged it into like the toaster?
It is connected to my computer. Yes.
Not to
okay.
Your penis isn't in the land slot, right?
Is your penis in the down position?
Is it down or dog?
That question, either way, that's fine too.
It's funny though.
You know, Scott, forget it. Just sigh because the sighs come in perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm here.
That may be the soundboard.
See? There you go, Scott. Just do that all night. Just do that all night. Not kidding.
Do enough phone call for the entire thing.
Yeah, we'll make it work, though, because we'll ask convenient questions.
Yeah.
Scott, what does the wind sound like?
There you go. See? Yeah. Yeah.
So, Scott.
Scott, how do you sound when somebody turns you down again?
Fuck.
No, see, right, Scott, you need to sigh.
No. It's Scott
job.
C. You got it backwards.
One job, Scott. One job. You fucked it up in the second attempt.
Wait, Scott, here's a question. What is she like through my trees? There you go.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you fall?
It sounded more like thunder.
A sound of thunder.
Okay, I'm gonna go off for a second. The hell?
Where are you going, Scott?
Where?
I'm gonna try a couple things. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, but after you get done trying those things, can you actually try to fix your connection?
Yeah. I think that's what he's trying to fix, hon.
Oh, I thought. Well, he just said he was going to try a few things, and normally with Scott, that means something
profane. With Scott,
profane.
You never know. That is true. I will agree, but I think this time it does mean
something completely different.
Yeah,
I like it when Lee explains jokes. I miss that.
I have to because sometimes on this show, it's always a question. Shit.
Explain that one for me,
Lee. Yes. Lee, what are you shitting about?
Scott, yeah.
I'm having problems with my computers.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's probably all John's fault because he's Ebles.
Scott's computer has infected yours.
Scott's a Weeble?
Gave it the wrong.
What?
No, John's a Weeble.
I'm a Wobble, and I don't fall down.
Yeah, you do fall down. I've seen you.
Remember, you're a Womble.
So Aaron had a show.
Woo! Show! Show us your tits.
The biscuit.
Yeah, I did an improv show, a new improv group.
I would like to point it out that I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Yet.
Didn't say it.
How'd it go?
It went well. We played to a small place, a small venue. I mean, it only held about 45 people, but we turned five or six people away because we had people literally sitting on the floor in front of the stage because we ran out of seats.
Oh, I thought you meant that they saw you in Sydney. And never mind.
No. We turned them off. But yeah, it's no, it was a good show. It was kind of, I mean, obviously first shows are never perfect. But you know, it was positive. So I had fun. And that's
you
all
had
what
fun.
Counts.
All right, when's your next show?
I don't know. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
When is their next show? Let's put it that way.
Well, the biscuit group after this show, a lot of people had vacation, so we're just trying to meet up again to plan the next one now. So hopefully in a month's time, we're looking to do one once a month. So we'll see how we get on. There's an improv festival on in Dublin in November, which we're kind of aiming for. So if you can do it once a month between now and then, we should be ready and able for that thing.
That sounds like fun.
You still making Dragon Con this year?
Hells yeah.
Okay. Woohoo! Who got their flights? I did.
I'm thinking about booking tonight.
AirTran.
So when is everybody coming in?
I'm coming in Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm coming in, Stephanie. What?
Wow. Oh my. I'm glad you guys are coming. It's going to be fun. Jesus Christ, John.
What's happening now?
I think I'm coming pretty good.
In the sound.
I hate John.
Oh my god, this is awful.
Uh-huh. Notice how well she talks with her mouth full.
Oh my god, you know, hey, Larry Niven's showing up. He hasn't been there since, what, 96, 97?
Haven't seen him since, just shut up now.
All right.
10 years ago, next year.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Serious? Fuck. Fuck.
There must be some other story here.
We're talking about DreamCon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Lee, try to keep up.
Next year will be its 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
Oh, do we have any more t-shirts we got to give away?
Are they all gone? I can't say anything because I got, like, I don't know, some payback of some sort.
It's...
Damn.
You mean the shirt that said the shirt that said this is just the beginning or something?
Yeah.
Oh, first of many.
It didn't say what it was the beginning of.
Hey, I will say I had a lot of fun. So did my sister.
I know everyone had a lot of fun except for like four people.
What?
Everybody had a lot of fun except for like four people.
Oh, all right.
Really? Four?
Yes.
I can think of three, but I can't think of four.
Who's the third person you're thinking of? Me, Ron.
Me, Holly.
Oh, well, okay. No, there's a couple. There's another investor as well.
Oh, was there?
Yes.
Oh, I was just thinking Holly because she got yelled at by Peter David.
Peter David, yeah, he's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
Wait, you guys invested your own money?
Yeah, Scott, we went over this. We've gone over this.
It's actually hurt many of our hearts.
And I have to say it again. He did repay every cent. So,
yay!
That's very
aw. Happy ending.
Well, sort of. It took several years, but yes.
Wow. Would you have been happier with a happy ending?
No.
Wow.
Not really.
So what's everybody drinking?
We're Hell's 13 drinking.
Who cares?
Oh, wait, when did it start?
Yesterday.
Last night.
On a Tuesday?
Monday.
Monday
night.
Tuesday.
Tonight's Tuesday, honey. You missed it.
Oh, how did that happen?
Has anybody watched?
I'm not drinking.
And I'm watching Defiance. Is anybody else watching it?
Yes.
I like it so far.
It's awesome.
All right, so wait a minute.
It's no following, but it's awesome.
So question. For those of us who have simply seen the, like, 15-second online commercial, why is Defiance not Alien Nation with an attitude?
You know, it's...
It's not the 90s
anymore.
It's
a little more apocalyptic. Yeah. It's okay. A little more everybody getting along to an extent.
Okay.
So it's Babylon 5 on Earth.
Actually, Scott,
you're probably correct.
You're close. I wouldn't disagree from what I saw of Babylon 5, because I never watched the whole thing. But
I like.
Sorry, I didn't. Sorry,
that
I
wasn't
know.
My intake Terrible. Of air.
It's got know. Some Defiance has some political overtones, but not nearly as heavy as Babylon 5 had.
And it's also got a little more hope to it against like something like Falling Skies or some of the other apocalyptic sci-fi stuff out there right now with aliens.
They've made the main guy very Han Solo-esque. There are several moments where I've been like, okay, is this ripped right out of Star Wars? What the hell's going on here?
There are many moments where I keep waiting for I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
But also there are moments where I'm like, you know, they went a little different than I thought they were going to go there. So it's kind of neat. It plays on a lot of fandom tropes. I mean, and they're having kind of fun with them. Like there's a good girl and a bad girl, but then all of a sudden you find out they're sisters. And spoiler, sorry. Oh. And then you're like, oh, well, that's just damn interesting.
No, that's the start of a porn movie.
Well, no, not that way, Scott.
Especially since one of them's a working. Yes, yeah, there you go.
There's a lot less incest than Game of Thrones.
Slightly less.
Now, to be fair, you could say that pretty much about everything on television.
That is true.
Less incest. Morning Joe, less incest than Game of Thrones. The Today Show, less incest.
Hold on a second.
No, wait a minute. Less political intrigue.
Are we talking Kathy Lee?
I said incest.
Kathy Lee, or?
I didn't say also got political intrigue. I said incest.
And I also, I always, anything with Graham Greene in it, I'm probably going to watch a couple of them. Julie Benz, who actually everything I've ever seen her in, whether I've liked the character or not, I've always loved what she's done with it. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know, it's got some really good character actors in it who are doing pretty good.
Now less incest, but there was that weird scene with the mom and the son that kind of creeped me out a bit.
Well, yeah.
Especially given how she was dressed, or not dressed as it were.
Yeah, well,
is Scully in this show?
No.
Scully in the show? No.
No, but the person who played H.G. Wells from Warehouse 13 is in it.
There's someone who looks a lot like Scully who like has like white hair and stuff.
Yes, that would be her. Yeah. But that's not her. That's the one who played H.G. Wells, Jamie Murphy.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's just, she does cons. She like might be out there.
And the guy who played Picasso in Doctor Who?
There's a slight chance that actress might remember things that she has done in the past.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
stop.
So Van it can't Go, be her, right?
The guy who played Van Gogh is in it. Yes. So a lot of really good character actors. You're like, oh, I didn't know you were going to be there. And not all of the aliens look like us. So always again, like with little ridges on their faces.
So it's not forehead of the week.
And some of them look like Chewbacca. Again, I say they're stealing from.
It's not Chewbacca. It's
Chewbacca.
It's actually Planet of the Apes because he's kind of somebody
else.
He's
an orangutan.
But... Yeah, he's an orangutan. Yeah. So.
Widge, where are you on the following?
I am on. I finished episode 8, so I'm to the point where. They tried to get information about where the wife is and could not. So
you know who Roderick is now then?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's the whole thing is opened up and
I gotta tell you, I finished watching the season finale.
Yeah.
And it does not go any way that you would imagine it would go.
Well,
it's
awesome
in that manner.
The one thing that you can do is with the show is that it's like in those thriller movies where they go, all right, well, they know how we think. So we've got to think not like how we think. So the one thing you can do is you can go, okay, I know what's not going to happen. The expected is not going to happen. Therefore, I can rule that out.
Always rule that out. Yay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the obvious. And I will be at this point. I will be absolutely floored if what's face Iceman is actually a bad guy. But there has got to be a bad guy somewhere in the good guy rankings. It has to be.
Is Val Kilmer in
the show?
No.
Nice, man.
Okay, wow. Hold on a second. Who's what? Sanding?
Yeah, I know. What? I was wondering that, too.
That's not
sounds
sanding.
Sounds like somebody is sanding.
That's a euphemism.
What? No, no, not really.
Wait, hold on. Is this the noise?
He was rubbing his wood.
No, that's not the noise.
I don't know.
Wait, I thought Aaron was now a real boy. Wasn't the blue fairy or never mind.
We didn't believe in him. We're still waiting for him to die.
No, I clapped. I clapped a lot.
No, you did not.
That's something for the soundboard right there. So anyway. So yes, so John, I'm still enjoying it. The one slightly weird thing that I thought was just, and again, this is just my brain, but for those who haven't seen the film, there's a Fight Club-esque sort of standoff thing that they do. And I thought what was going to happen was that, okay, here's round one, and you get to go against this fresh person. And round two, you get to go against this fresh person. So it's not like you're fighting the same person every single round, i.e. eventually you're fucked. So I just thought it was a little weird. It was like, well, we have our designated punching bag here.
Well, he had to make up for the reason why they did that is because he had to make up for the wrongs he had committed.
Oh, I know. That makes sense. But I was just at the time I was going, I was thinking when they said, oh, we've got this game we're going to play. I was like, oh, well, this is fucked. You've got like eight people. I thought the same thing. And now round six with this guy you've never seen before. I was like, that would be really fucking vicious. So I guess what I'm trying to say, John, is that I was a little disappointed they weren't as vicious as my imagination, which can get pretty fucked up, let me tell you. But no, I am still pleased, and I should be caught up fairly soon. I did not. Speaking of vicious, though, I didn't actually watch the latest Game of Thrones because instead. I watched the first episode of Vicious.
Is it as glorious as I think it is?
I had a Robo blast. Scott. Mostly because I was half the time.
We're auto-tuning Scott now.
What's that?
Nothing. Go on. I said we were auto-tuning Scott now.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, I thought we had. Never mind. Some tuning fork joke came and went. And that was almost a joke in itself. Mostly for like the first half of the first episode, you're sitting there amazed that you're actually watching Ian McKellen, Derek Jacobi, and Francis de la Tour in a sitcom. Like, with what sounds like a live audience or laugh track. And I'm going, how the fuck is this happening? Hamlet / Claudius versus, Magneto.
Richard III, there you go.
Yeah, Richard III, yeah, thank you. It's just like, what the fuck is happening? So all I can say is, see it by any means necessary. I'm sure it's probably on YouTube by now.
Also tell them what the premise is. It was just
mentioned. Basically, it was the working title, to give you an idea, was Vicious Old Queens, which they have shortened to Vicious.
I love it.
So basically, Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi play a couple who have been together for 48 years. Ian McKellen is a sort of failed but can't admit that he's failed actor. And Derek Jacobi is just he's just sort of there. He hasn't really had much of a career. Francis de la Tour is their friend, and they've got this young guy who's moved in upstairs that they're trying to ascertain his orientation, shall we say.
And willingness.
And what?
And willingness.
Well, yes, to a degree, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really funny. So I highly, it's an ITV series, so it is not actually over here, but I'm sure our enterprising listeners can find it for themselves.
Aaron,
search the Willie, because it's Willie Nelson's birthday, I think, today or something.
Yes,
he's
it
80
is.
Years old. Yes,
look for his little comedic audition to play Gandalf. It is funny.
Oh, nice.
It is funny. It is cute. It's so funny. So Gandalf is a stoner, such as Lord of the Rings. He would have been great. If they're going to film Lord of the Rings, he would be the part. So happy birthday, Willie Nelson.
Smoke one on us.
Weird.
Oh my God, he was smoking in this
He smokes all the time.
Yep.
So, Serv, here's a question. If there was some sort of apocalypse, you know, they have those like seed vaults, right? Where they have the various seeds, the various plants from around the world so that we can hopefully re-garden the world after the end of the world. Do you think there is a plan to take Willie Nelson and Keith Richards and stash them in cryogenic sleep in case of the apocalypse so that we could use their DNA to recreate drugs?
Oh, well, then we need to include Snoop Dogg, too, because...
I believe his name is Snoop Lion.
And Keith Richards. Snoop Dogg. Let's be honest.
Well, she's a white woman. She's being disrespectful, I think.
You know, my thought is... Why bother with them? I mean, yeah, they're a litany of, you know, have been there and tried it, everything under the sun kind of a deal. But, you know, I just, hardcore stuff, it's not, just green,
yeah.
Green's good.
Yeah, we need to know how to make.
Wait, is Serv the hipster of druggies?
Nice. Well, sir, I look at it this
You've
way.
You've been burned!
Considering Keith Richards will survive the apocalypse, I think we really just need to dissect him and figure out why he's still alive.
He's undead.
We could not hear a word you just said.
Fine.
Hey, serve exactly. Fine. It'll come through fine. Told you.
Yeah. Thank you.
God damn it.
That came through
fine.
Hey, has anyone else watched the other new show on Netflix?
No, the Hemlock? No, I haven't
Hemlock
gotten
Grove.
To that.
No, what is it like?
Yeah, it's shit.
Good to know, thanks.
Since we're talking Netflix real quick, okay, it's crap. Apparently Netflix did not renew the Starz agreement. So there's like a lot of stuff leaving the streaming in Netflix tomorrow, May 1. So by the time you hear this, it's over. Well, certain titles, usually third rate stuff.
Helpful.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. So did you Thanks, watch Rob. The first? Yeah, I know. So did you watch the first episode? Did you just?
No, we watched it all. We
did you
ended up watching it all, and it doesn't know what it wants to be, and it was just not good.
No House of Cards.
No, it really wasn't. It really paled in comparison.
Man. Interestingly enough, though, it was watched more than House of Cards.
Well, I think House of Cards probably.
I think the adults watched House of Cards.
Yeah, the story, or the, you know, what appears to be going on, at least with Hemlock Grove, you know, werewolf horror kind of a story. I think that garnered some viewers that probably were less
on the CW crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
I did catch, finally, Hannibal.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
Okay. Why is it... It's weird. When you have somebody that, I don't know, is empathetic towards killers, they always look tortured. I guess they can't convey... You know, Edward Norton kind of portrayed it as sort of a cold person, because I remember reading those episodes, and he was sort of a cold fish type kind of guy. Not I'm walking around tormented, like my head is going to explode any moment, and that's for the, you know, the FBI guy.
Well, so, yeah, I mean,
I like the guy playing Hannibal.
Oh yeah, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
they're never well adjusted, are they?
He's always very freaky.
What's that?
They're never well adjusted, are they? These like profilers and stuff that always have.
Well,
you,
I mean,
better belts.
That's part of the thing that I thought was just a little bit too forced about it, was that he was just so tormented.
Yeah, I didn't.
And
like,
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, really? I mean, really?
I mean, so tormented, like, oh my God, if I don't have some aspirin, my eye will shoot out of my head. I mean, really?
It's not the actor's fault. I think he's doing a really good job making the best he can with what he's got. And of course, Mads Mikkelsen basically just has to sit there and go and say every line like, ha ha ha, they don't know I eat people. I mean, that's.
It's
not his fault either.
It's the makers of this show, because I really didn't like that. Let's zoom in on that strange piece of sausage. Really? Come on. We already, you know, the problem is we already know the premise.
Yeah.
You don't have to zoom in on all of this. I mean,
they theoretically know the ending.
Right. And the thing is like, okay, you can give, what is his name?
Will Graham?
Yeah, Will Graham. Give us a little backstory and just, you know, ease up, really.
He's like a tortured straight man.
Well,
to him.
He's
miserable, though.
He is miserable. I mean, in Red Dragon, yeah, for so many different other reasons too, because he's got, you know, a new wife, blah blah blah, you know. But he doesn't portray it like, you know, I'm gonna throw up now. I don't. I know they have to do some sort of visual cues for the audience. We're smarter than that, because we all know what the premise is. Just saying.
Well,
bless you.
So Rox, basically, you're like, you would prefer somebody with your sort of empathetic approach to whack jobs, i.e., you're not bothered.
Right, yeah.
There you go.
A whack job.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I mean, you can play a whack job. I mean, you know, for those people who like Monk and stuff, I loved watching Monk. You know, he's a whack job, but, you know, it just, I don't know. I don't like the way they're handling the Will Graham character that much. I mean, I'll watch a couple more episodes for that.
Yeah, I think I was good with the one. And part of the other problem too is that, I mean, considering this is the Dante's Peak to Following's Volcano, I mean, which would you rather watch? Tortured, crazy Will Graham or absolutely hilarious and enjoying the hell out of himself Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon.
I know. John, probably my favorite part of the series thus far is Kevin Bacon in the house turning everybody against each other.
Oh yes.
that was brilliant. And by the way, speaking of Stir of Echoes and things and Dante's Peak and Volcano, if you like Kevin Bacon, go watch Stir of Echoes.
Yeah.
It's so much better than Sixth Sense. And it got completely forgotten because it came out after Sixth Sense. So but oh well.
Did it have a twist, though? If there's no twist, then...
The twist! Oh, my God!
No, what was great about it was that you had... Whereas everything in Sixth Sense was just sort of weird from the get-go, you got to see Kevin Bacon was, like, normal guy, and then established that he was normal. Then when weird shit started to happen, you could tell a difference. You know what I mean? You got to see him unravel, which, you know, takes better acting. I mean, considering, you know, the number one actor in Sixth Sense is Haley Joel Osment anyway, but I mean, that's, no, but I mean, but that's how it was written. I mean, to be fair. So, but anyway, although, I mean, let's face it, Kevin Bacon is never going to, never going to get close to the triumph of Tremors.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you, I've seen Iron Man 3.
What's that?
Oh, I hate you.
Oh, that's because.
I hate you.
All right.
But, well, that's okay, because Rob is seeing it as well, and when he calls in, I mean, unless Aaron, you need to go to bed, we can get both of you to take your take on it. But if
I won't make it as long as Rob's call, unfortunately.
Okay. Well.
What's your take?
Oh, sounds like someone saying something.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Scott. Suck my dick.
Don't offer. Don't offer.
Whoa. Think about that.
That sounded like a excuse me for saying so oral contract.
Be careful.
So Aaron,
you never know if you like it. What?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
So, I do want to know how it is.
Let me guess. He almost loses and then he wins.
I was highly disappointed in that.
Oh, really?
You was disappointed?
Yeah. Because it's tracking at like 90-something.
Disappointed as in Iron Man 2?
No, Iron Man 2 is a perfectly fine film. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, there are things wrong with it, but it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
No, it's not. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There are plot holes you can park a bus in. It's very, you can tell the difference in Jon Favreau is missing as a director, because it's all over the place as far as just kind of how it's cut together. There's a voiceover narration at the start and at the end of the film that makes no sense at all unless you stick around for the final credits, like after the final credits, a little post-credit thing that Marvel do. Otherwise, it makes absolutely no sense. It's poorly constructed.
Mm.
There's a thing that they do. I won't say what it is, but you'll know when you see it. That gave me nerd rage. I don't know if anyone else will act the same way, because when I left the cinema, all the people in the cinema, and it was a full house, were talking about how much they enjoyed the movie. But as a fan of the comic books, it was something I was really surprised that they did, because it's the first thing I've seen in a Marvel movie where they pretty much gave a finger to the fanboys. So it really, really surprised me. So you'll know what I'm talking about. You know the exact moment when you see it, but it was very surprising. I was with it. There's a good chunk of like a half hour to 45 minutes in the first half of the movie. That's fine, and I was with it. But about halfway, there was too many problems for me to ignore, and I was just like, this is just a mess. It'll make a shit ton of money.
It already has made a shit ton of money overseas. Yeah, well, it's already outdistanced Avengers.
Yeah, so it's, you know,
really?
Well, opening weekend.
Marvel won't care, but it's as a
Disney
film, it's
Disney won't care.
This is true. Well, Marvel, I'm sure, won't give two shits either, but it felt like a movie that Marvel weren't in control of as much anymore. It felt like a movie that Fox or Paramount would have made. It was on that sort of quality level as the most recent Spider-Man, and it is to the other two Iron Man films as the third Batman movie is to the other two Batman films.
Well, if you're comparing it to the new Spider-Man film, then I'll probably really enjoy it then. Cool.
Yeah, well, you're on your own on that one, unfortunately. Or maybe I'm on my own for not liking it, but I thought it was a mess.
No, it was mixed. Everybody was mixed.
Yeah, the New Yorker has it that it's almost like they said it's like two different films within an hour, or you know, after an hour it turns into a different film.
What, Iron Man?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it is. There's definitely. There's a case to be made that Robert Downey Jr. had a lot of influence on it, because he's barely in the suit, and there's fair enough they present a reason for him to not be in a suit, but then they present such a massive plot hole that they completely erased their reason for him not being in the suit, if you know what I mean. They kind of, they reneged it by accident. Yeah, it's just sloppy. It's just so sloppy.
How is Kingsley? How is Kingsley?
Kingsley is very good his acting in it is very good.
As the opposite of Gandhi?
I kind of, there was a kind of character that he reminded me of, and I'm trying to remember who it was now. But he's very Bond villainish.
Oh, okay.
He mentioned in a couple of interviews I've seen that he really wants to play a Bond villain. So if he never gets to do it, I think this is as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, he would make a great Bond villain.
Rotten Tomatoes currently is tracking it at 87% for all critics, but if you look at the top critics, it's 50-50 right now.
Like, I read two paper reviews of it before I went to see it, and they both gave them 4 out of 5 stars. And knowing both of those reviewers, because I've read a lot of their stuff, they gave most Marvel films 3 at best. So I was expecting a lot. They seemed to be the critics' darling, but I got a funny feeling afterwards that maybe it just got those high numbers because they knew it was going to be a success no matter what, and so they're getting on the gravy train early.
Well, depending on, if you're trying to get attention, you always go against the fold. So if it's a really well reviewed movie, you say bad things about it. And if it's a shittily reviewed movie, then you say good things about it in the hopes of getting a pull quote.
Okay.
I mean, if you do this, next time you see a poster or an ad or whatever else for a movie you know to be shit, you will see best movie of the year in quotation marks above it. Look and see who said it. See if you recognize the name or the outlet at all.
Yeah, I know.
But,
it's interesting because, like I said, I left the cinema and the majority of people I heard in the cinema loved it. And so Rob could turn around and say he loved it as well. But just being critical of how it was presented to me, I just thought it was sloppy. Really, it was really sloppy and a mess. And the nerd rage moment really... I mean, I struggled to sleep that night.
So let me ask you just to kind of frame, without spoilers, the nature of the nerd rage moment. Just your reaction. Was it just that they went against the comics? They did something that was counter to the comics?
Yes, and like immensely so. They did something that...
They put Thor in an Iron Man suit?
Marvel's probably done that by now in the comics, to be honest.
But no, they basically took a character, and it was the best way I could describe it is if you were watching a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And, like the new Star Wars film, for example. And halfway through, say for example, Chewbacca just started talking in English. And you're watching it and you're just like, what? What the fuck is this? What is going on?
I speak English. Of course I speak
English. Now I'm curious. Now I want to know. But I can't make you say it on the podcast. So.
No.
Well, you can. Just let me get off first.
Hey. That's not this kind of podcast.
Hey. I told you I did everything on my desktop. Anyway.
Some people could find this... twist to be wonderful, and this is like, oh, they've done something really clever and different with it, but to me it just felt like a slap in the face.
Don't say anymore, because I will probably fucking guess it knowing the way my brain works.
Yeah, just like shuffle off that way.
I'll be right back.
I don't know about it's not Sherlock, it's just
plus as well, it's like if you know something is coming, you're looking out for it the whole time as well. So
yeah, exactly. And I want to be able to go into the film on Friday and see it with without preconceived notions. And I mean, the thing about Iron Man 2 is that the only thing that was wrong with Iron Man 2 is that it wasn't Iron Man 1, you know?
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel about it. Like, after rewatching the movie a couple of times,
yeah.
I mean, it's a perfectly enjoyable film.
Yeah, I agree. So, the only thing that I was a bit concerned about, having seen, not having seen Iron Man 3, but seeing the trailers and stuff, and then also seeing the Thor trailer, is that I'm hoping that not all of the second movies, well, in this case, this is the third movie, but I hope they're not all going for, you know, Empire Strikes Back type of moments, you know what I mean? Where the good guy takes it in the face and has to come back from unimaginable odds.
Again, taking in the face.
Yep. That's a theme. All that being said, the very end of the Thor trailer made me extraordinarily happy, so I might not care.
Yeah, I mean, I get the feeling that Thor is just going to be a little bit more serious this time, but not necessarily that he has insurmountable odds to overcome. I just think it's going to be, because the first one was kind of a little bit camp in a way.
Yeah, sorry,
it was very lighthearted.
Yeah, it was a bit cartoonish.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I think they're just going for something a little bit more serious this time, which was perfectly fine because you can do that with Thor. So it's, you know, it's,
yeah. Yeah, and I mean, of all the Phase 1 films, I think, you know, while I enjoyed Thor, I thought it was the, you know, the lightest and the I won't say worst, because I didn't think it was bad, but the least good of all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but I am greatly looking forward to that. And, well, God help me, I might almost be looking forward to Man of Steel.
That new trailer turns things around, doesn't it?
That new trailer makes us all kind of go, oh, maybe?
Well,
but I'm scared to have my heart broken.
Two things. The first was, in the second trailer, there was something about, first of all, okay, Kevin Costner as Pa Kent, fucking great casting. I think, but the whole thing about, you know, what should I have done? Should I have just let them die? And he just goes, maybe. I mean, he just doesn't know. I love that ambiguity of it, you know, especially when you are faced with trying to protect your son from the entire planet. That was in that trailer, the second trailer, but in this third most recent trailer, what does it for me, which makes me even want to forget the fact that I fucking hate the costume, is the fact that he acts like Superman, the whole, excuse me, and then he's gone. I'm like, oh, shit, that's Superman. Superman is like, I will sit here and I will play your game and I will let you handcuff me and I will let you interrogate me until I need to go save someone. Now, if you'll please excuse me, this charade is over.
Well, no, it's sort of like he's polite. You know, he doesn't say,
I don't know, that's what I mean. I mean, he's incredibly polite. Oh, thank you for inviting me to your military installation.
Well is that there seems to be no glasses for Clark. They
that
seem to be avoiding that.
It also seems like they're actually – he's not working at the planet. That's what it seems like.
Well, now, the thing is, if this is basically Superman Begins, that may – yeah, he may get there.
Well, it'll be interesting if they make him meeting Lois Lane, which we already know happens, and motivation for him to get a job in the Daily Planet. Kind of stalkerish, but I think it'd be kind of a fun way of doing it around that way
That's
around.
That's what the S stands for.
Well,
Scott gets a point for that one.
Scott snipes it. Maybe the whole, you know, the fact that they've basically, because I don't remember them ever saying in the comics, oh, this isn't an S, which I thought was great, by the way. I thought that was a nice touch. But you know, they're going to twist it a little bit, which makes me wonder if, you know, maybe he's at the planet because that way he can basically have a job under the noses of the media, and where better to hide, you know? Although, I don't know, maybe he doesn't need to hide. I mean, because he can, and in theory, I mean, because in the comics, what was it? He was able to, the way they explained how his secret identity stayed safe is that he was able to vibrate his face or something so that they couldn't actually take a picture of his face.
Lee, calm down, Lee.
Wow. Yeah. Ladies.
Wait, I first of all, wow. Second of all, huh? That was how the... Yeah, stop it, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, Lee, all I can say to that is kneel before Zod. Thank you. But anyway, so... No, I am so afraid because it looks really good.
I'm just looking forward
to Zod cunt-punting Superman.
What?
That was amazing.
You've all seen Michael Shannon's video, right?
Yes. It was amazing. It is absolute pure genius. I said, what Funny or Die needs to do now is they need to get Terrence Stamp to do the same thing. And then we'll be set.
The thing is about it, and it's really weird, is that just the concept alone of Michael Shannon reading that letter is great. But he actually weirdly makes some amazing acting choices in it.
Yes, he does.
Like, because you could have just read it like an angry person and just read it out, and it would have been great. But he kind of goes from light to dark in all these different places, and it's actually like really, like it's an intense, like character study that he does.
What? Oh, standing. Oh, death. What I really liked was an interview that I read with him where he was like, "Yeah, people are always telling me, oh, you should do a comedy," and I'm like, "But I did comedies, like Premium Rush. My character in that I thought was funny. I was a comedy relief in Bad Boys 2. I was in this. I was in that. You want me to make a go see my fucking comedy." Oh, that was great. But yeah, I like him a lot. In fact, I'm really looking forward to the Iceman. I just need to figure out when it's
coming
here. And basically, Aaron, it's based on a real story about this guy I heard the guy who wrote the biography on Art Bell years ago. So, Rox, I don't remember the exact details, so correct me if I'm wrong. But basically, because he needed to provide for his family, he became a hitman, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And killed.
Later made Taco Bell.
And killed, I think 200 people.
Yeah, something like that.
Some ridiculous number, yeah.
Yeah, and when I first saw I saw the poster, and I was like, Michael Shannon, the hitman, and it's just him sitting at a table, and there was something in that went, oh shit, if they cast him as the hitman guy, that would be fucking, oh my god, they did.
Oh my god. So in the New York Times, if you go, and I posted this, so if you go to my Twitter feed, on Sunday, there was like, they do this one page interview, and it was with Michael Shannon, and it is funny as hell, because this guy has got such a deep, dark sense of humor.
Yep.
That he said that if he had won, he said apparently he was drinking the entire night, you know, that he had a lot of gin. So if he, you know, and everyone would tell him, I forgot what he was up for, an Academy for Revolutionary Road.
Mm.
He did a great job because he played the crazy son, but he played it in such a reserved way. He was up for an Academy, total dark horse. He's like, yep, my bus driver would tell me, man, you're not going to win. So he drank all night long. He goes, when they cued to the person who won, and I guess they shot a really quick glance over to Shannon, he had this weird look. And they're like, well, he goes, I had nothing. He goes, if I won, I probably would have gone up there and said, praise Satan. Because that's the type of, you know, everyone's praising God and stuff because, you know, everybody told him you were not going to win. He goes, if I had won, I would have said, praise Satan. And all the things, this is the weird thing. A guy that is a great of an actor as he, he wants to be on Letterman. Since he was 15 years old, go find this little article on the New York Times. He's been wanting to be on Letterman.
On Letterman?
On Letterman.
Okay.
And apparently he had to like almost interview to be on Craig Ferguson. And he's like, why the hell do I want to be on Craig Ferguson? I want to be on Letterman.
Oh, wow. Easy.
It's Shannon.
I know.
You got to read this article and it'll show you the little in-depth. Well, you heard the Terry Gross interview, right, with him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Find that one on Fresh Air because even when he's cracking jokes, you do not know where you stand. It's like you're, you know, on rocky ground all the time because you just don't know when he is cutting up. You know, so anyway.
I get that impression.
I want to see that film too because he is just such a fantastic actor.
Which would be better in awards ceremony, hailing Satan or thanking science for without whom we wouldn't be here?
Oh, either one. They're both Faustian bargains, no matter what.
It's true. Faustian bargains, the catchphrase of Weekend Justice.
There you go.
Fantastic. Oh, so, yeah, so I missed Game of Thrones. Has everyone caught up on Doctor Who? Because you can talk about that. I don't care.
No, well, we didn't talk about the really cool episode of Game of Thrones the week before.
Oh, so we can talk about that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I will tell you what, on that note, I will leave because I actually am catching up on Game of Thrones, and I'm 4 episodes behind. So
He's on season 1, episode 2.
Oh, my God, did you just start the season?
Yeah, I only started watching Game of Thrones like 2 weeks ago, so we're just at the end of season 2, about
ever?
To start season 3. So I will.
You have never watched it up until now?
No, we can hold off. We can talk Doctor Who.
I think he wants to go to bed, is what he's trying
to
really say.
Do you? I really think he wants to go to bed.
Well, if you want to switch schedules, I can hang around for Doctor Who before going for Game of Thrones.
All right, we can talk Doctor Who. All right.
On that note, serve leaves.
How about that, serve leaves? No, I'm sorry.
I know you don't like her.
Well, it's not just her. I'm not liking any of the story. Nothing is making me care.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, I don't give a rat's ass.
You've gotten to the point in life where you've no feelings anymore. It's fine. I mean, you should really perfectly accept that.
But no, I mean, I understand that these are some callbacks to other doctors and there's all of these other great, wonderful, fine. Don't care. The stories are not compelling. They're not. They're not something I want to watch. And we've talked about this before. They're just not something I want to watch every week.
You know, here's the funny thing, Lee. After 40 years, there are a lot of stories that are not compelling. Just I'm ripping the Band-Aid off the wound just so people won't get too pissed at me. But, you know, there are a lot of Doctor Who episodes that are.
I mean, you watched the Tennant series, right?
No.
No.
See, you didn't start really until this Doctor. I've watched some of Tennant, but I
have been spoiled, my dear.
I have, and see, I think that's it. I really do, because Rox, I will even, Widge and I have already chatted about this, which is there were some that maybe we didn't really love
right
prior, but we would watch them and be like, oh, okay, good, we watched it. We're still going to watch it as soon as we can. Eh. And on these, it's like it's been 4 in a row where I go, eh, don't care.
Well, I think the thing is that there is not everything has to be superlative. You know, you don't have to have everything be, you know, the two-parter from the end of Matt Smith's first season.
Right.
Which still to me, you know, blows my fucking head off because I absolutely love it. Not everything has to be the library two-parter, which again is so good. It makes me want to just find Moffat and punch him because he makes the rest of us look bad. So not everything has to be that good. I just like stuff to – I just enjoyed the fact that I was watching a fun science fiction show.
Yeah.
That could turn and be, like, scary. It could turn and be, like, adventurous. It was like, you know, I don't know, an old adventure serial. And then when they felt like it, they could go, ha-ha, here is superlative. But the problem is since that first season, I mean, like we talked about – it's like you know, Moffat had his debut album, which had all the stuff that he had been working on in his head for years, and then the sophomore album was like meh, and then it's just gotten worse from there. I mean, basically, okay, so what I'm comparing this to is that the Stephen Moffat Doctor Who is a lot like the career of Pearl Jam, I think is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, that was just kind of mean.
No, because Ken was has probably my favorite review of all time, where Rolling Stone says it's the sort of album that makes you want to stand on a mountain and yell. And I was like, yes, yes. Ken is a fantastic fucking album. I know it was overplayed. I know everybody's fucking sick of Jeremy. Doesn't fucking matter. It was a great fucking album. And then you get to like Verses, and it's like half the album's good. And you go, oh, okay, well. And then you get to, you know, by the time you get to like Rearview Mirror or something, you're like, oh, whoa.
Well,
and now you're like,
Rearview Mirror is a compilation album, first off.
Whatever it is. See, because I stopped getting them after Vitalogy because I was like, I'm wasting my money. So.
Okay. Well, I'll just take out all my Pearl Jam CDs here and go through them one by one. So,
all three of them.
First of all,
oh shit!
Ten. Awesome.
I just wanna bring up one thing. I am in complete and total agreement with you, Widge, regarding Pearl Jam, and there's no way that Pearl Jam in any way is even like Doctor Who. So,
Verses, awesome.
No, Verses,
Vitalogy,
okay.
Awesome.
Nah.
No Code, awesome.
Ugh.
Binaural, all right.
Ugh.
Yield, amazing, one of their best albums. Riot Act, all right.
What the fuck do you know? You don't even speak English.
Neither do you. You speak American.
I speak American, not American. Let's get it straight, scrawny Irishman.
God.
We're about to have an international incident.
Again.
And that Scott didn't start this time.
That's true, Scott. Well done. You're actually behaving yourself, which means the apocalypse is nigh.
The science guy?
And for those of you keeping score at home, yes, my desktop imploded while we were talking. So the phone actually makes sense.
It's the pulse that refreshes every 15 minutes in Weekend Justice.
Sorry, I was getting a beer.
Yeah, so...
Oh,
no,
I heard it.
The other thing that kind of made me a little depressed about Doctor Who is, and I know this isn't...
It's Doctor Who.
No, that's not
wow.
It.
Wow.
And
well
I know,
done, sir. Well
yes,
done.
Sir, we know how you feel. And I know this isn't always what you watch it for, but they have had such kind of really cool guest stars. You know, you got David Warner.
Yeah.
The greatest Jack the Ripper ever. I mean, they've
was
got
he one of the
some,
brothers?
They've had some really amazing guest stars, and then all of a sudden you're like, and really shitty episodes that they're in.
I don't know. Next week, Diana Rigg, man. Diana Rigg.
Well,
and we're two episodes away from Gaiman's episode, aren't we?
I think so.
Yeah, I will say
just so you know, Diana Rigg on Game of Thrones, so fucking awesome.
Yes. Yes.
If they can do, there's no spoiler on this. If they could remake, if they want to reboot Lion in Winter, she can so play the Captain Hepburn, Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Part. Holy shit!
Yes, I score on that one.
Well done. Holy shit, that would be great.
Oh my God.
It'd be Henry.
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I would almost want to see Diana Rigg and Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
I mean, not even just because he's so fucking acid on Vicious.
They both can do bantering back and forth.
Yes.
I mean, I am amazed at even in her. And the funny thing is when you consider her career, I mean, she was a little bit fluff when she was doing Emma Peel, but her acting chops are fucking fantastic. I mean, there's this whole cool scene. The little bit of scenes that she gets in Game of Thrones are mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Like, can't we have more of her? I can see her playing up against Charles Dance, which she has played. No.
Yeah.
Wrong. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the fact that the fact that with that cast, you can stand out from that cast is amazing.
Yes.
And you got Karen Hines this season as well.
Yeah.
Who is perfect casting. When I heard that, I was like, really nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's fantastic. So, I think that would be worth watching just for her, the Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Gaiman episode will be good no matter what.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
You know what? I didn't really care for the last one that he did.
Oh, what the... Really?
Yeah, I just was like, I was kind of ambivalent about it. And I had hopes for it. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Whatever. I just, it was okay.
Huh.
I mean, I thought I maybe expected more out of a manifestation of, you know, I am the tart. I don't know. I just, it was okay. I've seen better manifestations of, you know, an AI done better. I can't think at the moment what, but I was just okay with this, you know. Yeah.
You know, something interesting when I was watching it, I think we may have seen the explanation for Clara appearing in several points in time. You know how the TARDIS creates those echo control rooms?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if something like that happens to Clara in a future episode, where somebody creates these other Claras to help the Doctor.
It was noted, facing... I think. Yeah, you're kind of on that track of what Tuffley, I think, brought up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, it hasn't, at least in terms of Clara's timeline, it hasn't happened yet. That's why the Doctor couldn't find anything.
Right.
But it's going to happen. The thing is, those two Claras show up in, like, moments of when the Doctor really needs help. So I'm wondering if it's like the TARDIS or something like that creates these other Claras to help them.
Well, I think it'll probably be something that, I mean, I think it'll all be explained with the 50th episode, which is probably
what actually somebody noticed. One of the Who fans noticed that the chair, I don't know if this is picking straws, but the chair that she used in her escape pod from the, you know, the Dalek episode is almost the same type of chair that Jenny had.
That's just the BBC props department.
I know, but it's you're correct, because everything is always rehashed. I do understand, but I'm just saying of what people are trying to, you know, cobble together about this mystery that, you know, on a whole, it's like, yeah, okay. I don't know if it's my age or something, but, you know, I'm like, well, whatever.
Something else I think is causing a problem is that, you know, besides, you know, just getting out that, that like first album type deal you were talking about, Widge.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob's kind of following the same trap that, God, what's his name? The previous guy. And we just use his
name. Davies?
Davies, right. He's doing other shows now, so he cannot devote like that single Biden is just to the show, and I'm wondering if that is causing problems.
Well,
I mean, Davies ended up doing Torts and the Sarah Jane Adventures, and Moffat's doing this and Sherlock.
Yeah,
so
and
that may be part of the reason that the last season or two hasn't been great.
Well, we've talked about that not only Sherlock, but for a while there he was working on Tintin as well. So, I mean, I don't know when the guy sleeps. So.
And unlike you, maybe deprivation is actually affecting him.
I'm sorry, like me what?
Unlike you, sleep deprivation is actually affecting him.
Oh, yes. Well, that happens. But, no, I don't know. And again, I think part of the problem is that, you know, Aaron, you're right, I am spoiled by the fact that I came in on a really fucking solid season that, you know, was pretty much end to end awesome. And I mean, the thing was that the season as a whole, you know, the few lag points, were you forgot about because the season as a whole just sort of paved over it. It was just good it just averaged out. It's really, really good. And unfortunately, you don't get that going forward.
I don't know. I mean, I've enjoyed the episodes. I think they've been very standalone episodes, and I think that's possibly where some new Who fans are having issues, because they, like they said, they came in with the first season of Matt Smith, which was all very linked and all very together. And I think kind of with this not being so much that way, I think some people are getting frustrated.
No, I don't think that's it. I just don't think it's written very well.
Yeah. I mean,
because part of the thing, too, is bear in mind, a lot of the first season was pretty much standalone episodes with a B plot in it. It's not like the entire time.
Right.
Every single story was about there's a crack in the fucking wall. It just so happened that at the end of the episode, they'd go, oh, look, a crack in the fucking wall.
But there was But there's an awful lot of shit episodes in the first season that are no better than this season. I mean, the episode where they went to see the Queen on the spaceship, I mean, I think that's the standard we've gotten for a lot of episodes this season. I think people look at that first season with rose-tinted glasses. I mean, honestly, I don't see the writing level dropping that much, bar a couple of episodes. I mean, it was about three or four outstanding episodes in that first season, but the rest of it was the same as this.
I don't know. I would agree to disagree on that one, simply because I was just going to say you can't compare, like, for example, let's compare whole seasons to whole seasons. The clusterfuck of last season and that finale, which basically was, you know,
made me cry,
barely made any sense. And then the mid-season finale, which basically deflated the rest of the season because of the lack of momentum. I mean, you compare that to the two-parter of the end of the first season, where your cliffhanger is, we've just destroyed the entire fucking universe.
You're taking the great episode from that season and comparing it to a not so great episode.
I'm comparing finale to finale. I'm talking about the finales of the two episodes.
But you can't that's just a finale, though. You know what I mean? Like, what TV show has always had a fantastic finale at the end of every season?
The good ones. I mean, The Wire was solid straight through. I mean, the first episode, first season of Dexter was amazing with the finale.
Of Dexter, but every season after that?
Well, the problem with every season after that, I haven't watched every season after that because I gave up 9 episodes. I watched season 2 and it was shit. It wasn't just shit for the finale. It was shit from you know, step 1. I was 9 episodes in waiting for it to start.
But there was
a level of joy, Aaron, that I had in the first 2 seasons, and that even when the episodes weren't that good, and the one with the stupid space whale, I will agree, not a great episode. There always has to be, as I understand it, because I have been reading. I've been reading a lot of Rob's things and other things, and there always has to be a second or third episode with a new companion where we show that the companion is there for a reason. Okay, that's fine. They're not always great episodes, and that's fine. But there was a level of joy in some of that, and some joie de vivre and some fun that I'm just not having here. I'm just not having. And I don't know. I think it's partly the writing. I think it's partly just they keep talking about this great banter between them. And what I see is actually just a lot of forced talk. And that's problematic. I've watched a lot of Tenet because Kidlet loves it. And I love the Donna episodes, even the ones that aren't the greatest. But there's a lot of fun in those episodes. I'm just not having as much fun. And I don't know why I am not, but I am
And part of the other thing, too, I mean, for me, that the you know, Britain on the back of a space whale episode, for me, was just novel enough to make me not care about the problems with it. I mean, you had Liz Penn, who was a great character, who, again, I think we should have the Doctor Who Adventure Hour, where you have a half hour of her having adventures and a half hour of Westface, the detective, the Victorian Silurian detective.
Oh, yeah.
I would I would watch the shit out of that show, and I don't understand why there is an entire series of novels about both of those characters, because I fucking love them to death. Well, that's part of it, is you had all these great supporting characters who they actually did stuff with. But, I mean, Britain's on the back of a space whale. You've got crazy fucking fortune teller people. You've got, so there was enough novelty in there to make me go, okay, yeah, this is not great, but this is fun. I'm enjoying this, as opposed to, you know, we're going to spend the majority of an episode singing. Please fucking stop singing and do something else.
We're gonna do a bad Ghost Hunters episode.
The doctor was gonna turn to the camera and say, "Okay, now everybody clap so Tinkerbell can live."
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's if Aaron can live.
Callback. So not
but,
very far.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, there was the bad Ghost Hunters episode. However, had somebody do Gray Scott. I've seen him in a lot of things and have always liked him. It took me a while to recognize who it was in the glasses. By the way, aged well, Dougray, just letting you know. But, yeah, it's just not fun. I don't give a shit what his name is. I don't, you know, I mean, let me have fun here. And I'm not, I don't know. We've beaten this horse.
Off?
No, I am not saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to get my lights turned off. I have a sound activated. Lighting system. How very inappropriate.
Come on, please say it.
I will see you at some point.
Say it.
No. I've planted a garden.
I bet you have.
How is that? How in any way, shape, or form can you make that anything?
Correction, madam. I didn't make anything that way. Your own mind did.
Did you say erection, madam?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Again, your own mind.
No, my own mind did not. You said erection.
Again, your own mind.
Just don't get the squirty kind. Yeah.
Your own mind.
My own mind. My own mind is the squirty kind. Awesome. Good to know. Okay.
Well, I mean, if you were to jump up and down on it, I'm sure it would squirt a bit.
Wait, does Lee squirt?
Oh, wow.
Wow. I didn't do it. I did not do it.
Way to class up the joint, Scott.
I'm back, baby.
Oh,
yeah.
God help. Oh, God help me. That's great. Lord help.
No, do you?
What? So, I have tomatoes in my garden and zucchini.
Oh,
and
I bet you do.
And?
I bet she does.
Yeah! Nothing. Nothing else. I'm done. Thanks.
Aaron's gone. Bye. He's tired.
Bye, Aaron.
Bye, Aaron.
You ain't responsible for nothing. Damn right.
Oh, well.
Rumble Air is my favorite.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. Do we lose Serve as well, or is Serve still with us?
Oh, Serve's been gone.
Okay, all right. So we lost Aaron. So I'm just trying to, since I can't see who's actually here. So yeah, we'll do introductions.
So I'll introduce myself, do a recommendation, and then go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Woo-hoo.
So all right, so we'll do introductions, and we'll do them for me from the phone, watching my machine back up. Now, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on NeedCoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. You know what? It's actually, I'm like Charlie from Charlie's Angels. I'm just on the desk coming through a speakerphone. From my right to your left, we have Lee is with us. Hello, Lee.
Hi.
Hi. We also have Rox and Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
Hi, Charlie.
Thank you. And we got Scott C. Hello, Scott.
Lee totally squirts.
God. Barkley.
Scott.
Beasley, Beardsley. You're our, well, who is that guy?
Bosley.
Bosley. Scott could be our Beardsley Bosley.
Nice. And I think we've lost everybody else. So that leaves.
You forgot John. Holy
no,
shit.
I always do John last. So that's why I was just making sure I had everybody I was about to say. We have John Mitchell from the Indie Geek. Hi, John.
Oh, you're doing me last, I thought. Why do I get the last, and why are you coming through your telephone?
That's right, John. I'm doing you on my desktop because I do everything on my desktop.
Mm-hmm. Previously on there you desk.
Go. Yeah. And previously top. On desk.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? So desk needs to be an internet soap opera, just like what is it? One Life to Live and something else. They move to the web.
Aren't they moving All My Children to the web?
Yeah, I think so. The two of the ones that they just canceled, they brought back.
We don't have our soap guy here.
How many children?
Hopefully it's not here.
How many children do you have?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. So Lee, you were going to recommend something and run away.
I'm going to recommend something, and I'm going to recommend two things.
Oh,
Number one. And both of them you can get on Amazon. Oh. Number one is, as we know, Kidlit is now Teenlit, and as you all have seen, and he's now tall and becoming a teenager.
Are you afraid of him yet? Are you afraid of him yet?
No, I can still take him. I can still take his little ass out. All Make right. another one just like him. I got egg. Leave me alone. I got eggs. Because he is becoming a teenager, we're now watching a lot of different things, and we watched the Alien. No, we watched the Alien trilogy.
Alien, no.
We watched the Alien trilogy recently, and if you have not watched that with somebody who's never seen it before, let me tell you: if you go from Alien to Aliens, and it's hysterical because. He was like, why is there a room that has a computer in it? And things like that. So there's a lot of things like that. But then there's also the watching somebody watch Alien and Aliens for the first time, which is like, okay, no, it's not really scary, but they do jump out a lot and things like that.
Did he know about the Kisbuster?
Yeah. Well, he had actually, unfortunately, we kind of watched him out of order, is that we had seen Prometheus. And then he was asking if he could watch the other movies, and I was like, well, we let you watch Prometheus, sure. So yeah, and so he did that. It was really, yeah, no, it's really, I kind of forgot how much fun the first two at least are to watch. I still think three has so many. The only thing in three that is redeeming is the last like 5 minutes, so which sets up four, and I can't find my tape for four.
I like three a lot.
Three, you know, three wasn't as bad as was made out to be.
Yeah, no.
Well, three is not as bad as, you know, Alien versus Predator, which is considered canon in this series, unfortunately. But yeah, no. So it's not that bad, but I think out of the three of them, three is my least favorite. It drops a lot. I just wanted Ripley to have a little bit of happiness in her life. And
you know, it's the only time Charles Dance kind of plays a good guy. Just so
he
you
does.
Know.
Yeah, he does play kind of an interesting. I mean, there are some really great people in it too. I mean, you got some really kind of fun people in there. So you're like, yeah, it is good.
Well, and I will say, the thing about the Alien Resurrection that works is the return of Ripley. That the thing that made the least amount of sense actually works the best.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I kind of want him. I kind of think that is why I'm like, of Alien 3, that scene is the great, and it's totally sets up for, that's all it does to me, is that's about the only thing I ever say about Alien 3. It totally sets up for, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. So that's good. So yes, watch those with somebody who hasn't watched them. They're even the Alien quadruple, whatever it is on Amazon, I think, for like $22 with the extended cuts and all that. And yes, you do want the extended cuts because it gets some great scene in Aliens that were left out of the theatrical version, and you do want them. So yeah. Pretty cool. So there's that. And then this is a very girly thing, but we are coming up on swimsuit season. And some of us may wax our legs during that season. And if you do, there is a, I can't believe I'm doing this, but it's true. There's this great stuff on Amazon called Moom, M-O-O-M. It is an herbal sugar wax thing. And it actually doesn't hurt as much as regular wax. And you can do it at your home. And it was not ridiculously expensive. And it works really, really well. So there you go.
I am so glad.
It's really odd. What I
really well, can, because men don't do shit like this.
They do if they're cyclists and swimmers, Scott.
And swimmers, but this is, yeah. And if you've ever had your leg hairs waxed, you can learn how to sing soprano really quickly. But this stuff didn't hurt as much, and so, hey, that always makes me happy. So there you go, leg waxing stuff. And guys, you're more than welcome to try it. It works.
No.
Make it nice and smooth.
No.
But it's
yeah,
good.
Like, you know, it took me years to have more than 5 chest hairs. Why would I want to get rid of them? I had to style them to make it look like I had more.
Aw. Did you fluff them? Did you get mousse?
No, I never used mousse. Just a little bit of hairspray.
Just a little hairspray? Okay, I will. All right.
And by that, I mean the musical.
There is, you know, hey, if John Waters puts hair on your chest, go with it, man. Go with it.
Well, it makes hair stand on end, that's for sure.
Very true. But that's it. Those are my recommendations, and now I got to go to bed.
Hey, Lee?
Yeah?
Hey, why don't you go to bed?
I'm going to go to bed now.
Okay.
And tell Rob I didn't go to bed because I know he's coming on soon. It's because I got to go work. Bye, y'all. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
We're not going to do that. We're going to tell him he ran. She ran, right?
What?
Never mind.
We're auto-tuning Scott again.
Oh. So now we can talk Game of Thrones.
Oh, true. Well, we could... Yeah, through the, what was it? What was the episode before this last one? This past Sunday?
It was three, episode four?
Yeah.
It was the freeing of slaves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sullied. Oh my God, that was awesome.
Now let me ask you, because it seemed like my wife knew what was coming up. Did that happen in the book as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because even in the previous episode, again, I went, well, this makes no sense, because all she has to do then is just turn them on the guy. It seems like she's...
Yeah, but he underestimated her. Totally.
Well, everybody did.
Right, which I'm like, from the get-go, if there's a person to root for...
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah. Out of this, to me, she becomes a big contender.
Yeah.
You know, as far as here is somebody who is... Okay, if you compare her with Sansa, there's no comparison. Because Sansa's an idiot. I'm sorry. She's a pretty girl. So is... you know, the Khaleesi, but Sansa's got like no fucking sense at all. You just want to, you know, I want to beat her up.
Well, Rox, to be fair, you want to beat a lot of random people up.
No, her in particular. I'm like, no, your dad was smart. Are you telling me you're the stupid one of the family?
Well,
shallow? Yes. I mean, no, there's... I'm sorry, Widge. There's...
No. I understand. Trust me. I understand. But part of her problem is, and I'm not completely apologizing for her, but I can sort of see where that comes from when you consider, you know, she was obviously shallow. She was obviously spoiled. She was obviously... had no idea what the shot was, unlike pretty much every other kid in that family. And then take her to King's Landing, which under normal circumstances would be like, you know, she'd take it like a duck to water. She'd be like, yes, thank fuck, this is where I'm supposed to be. But then you completely remove her support structure, and now she's at the mercy of whoever's there.
I know, but hello, do you need to be Job? Oh, hey, we're gonna kill your dog, your wolf. Oh, Dad did it. Okay, that's okay. I mean, come on. oh, your fiance's henchman beat you up. Ah, okay, that's a, like, really? I mean, she's, I just, I know she I know she lingers for a while. I just want to beat her up. And just smack some sense into
her. Well, thing is, after watching a lot of Law & Order SVU, there are women who, no matter how bad you treat them, will still stick around.
I know, but here's the
thing. And she sounds like one of them.
I know, but here's the thing I don't understand. Okay, her mom is smart, okay? She's making poor decisions, but her mom is smart. So I cannot believe, I really cannot believe that her mom did not give her the proper talk of this is the way the things will go.
You've not been around many teenagers, have you?
Well, no, no, no. Here's a political family.
Doesn't matter.
Here's the fantasy land medieval thing that this is what, you know,
does not matter.
What, really?
Yes, they're going to do what they're going to do.
I know, but
they're
going to
be dumb. Kids are dumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My kids aren't, for the record, if you're listening.
Oh, no.
By the way, why are you listening?
No, no. What was it? It was Bill Cosby that says that they lose, when they hit their teens, they lose whatever brain cells
they
do.
And
then they acquire them again.
They do. I did. It's just what happens. I think she's acting like
not,
a typical teenager.
Not all of us came out as an evil villainous birth box.
All right, Scott.
Some of us had to do some maturing first.
Okay, Scott, you have a point.
Scott is dialing in from down the hall.
God damn it.
Oh, my God. The call from Scott's coming from inside the house.
Well, okay.
I thought there was a restraining order.
John, you know.
Well, let me ask you something.
Khaleesi is about the same age as Sansa.
No.
No. I would say yes.
Hold on. I call incorrect.
Okay.
Well, now in the books probably. But in the books probably, because I know that Daenerys was like 13 or 14, something like that, when she was married to Khal Drogo. And you can't show that on television. So I think they may
have someone
adjusted,
just get slimed?
Just like they adjusted all the Stark kids upward, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because it's easier fucking cast.
Age of Khaleesi.
Oh, I know. It's not like Mad Men where they just change out Bobby every other season.
Nice. Well, and Rock's part of the other thing is that it's like, the you know, Daenerys has been, she's got a bit more of a foundation to her than Sansa.
No. Okay. She too, you want to compare, they were both abused children. She was abused by her brother. And Sansa, coming from, I think, a stable family background, is abused by other people.
Right.
I mean, to me, they both had their hardships, and yet, you know, one has an army and one does not.
She grew up in a different environment. She grew up in an environment where her family was dead. So she had to find her own way, as opposed to being spoiled
brother abused. I mean, her brother pretty much pimped her out.
Well, true. By the way, according to the Game of Thrones wiki, she's 18. I haven't found Sansa yet, though.
She's probably about the same age.
No, because she just bled.
That's a book.
In the show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I'm imagining it's in the show, because that's what this seems to be geared towards.
Right.
Because the in the television show, Sansa, well, that was the first season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She had her first period, which would make her about 12.
Second season.
Well, that would make her about 12.
That would make her around 12, 13, yeah. But they're pushing her age up, too. They're making her seem older.
Yeah. Well, I just think that you've got, with Daenerys, the difference is this. The difference is Daenerys was basically set up to be, you know, the pimpy in the situation, but with her brother out of the way.
Yeah, she's 14. Sansa's considered 14.
Okay.
In the show.
And with her brother out of the way, and then with Khal Drogo, she began to learn about what it meant to be the Khaleesi.
Oh, yeah, she did.
But, I mean, just from a standpoint of being strong enough to be that, you know?
Well, I mean, Sansa doesn't know what she's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. I mean, because her entire setup for her life as she knew it was to, you know, maybe, you know, become royalty of some kind or some noble. And then she, oh, well, now I can become queen. And now that's fucked. And there's been nobody yet to show up and say, here's what you need to do. And she's not exactly a self-starter.
Right.
She's so, not Captain
the group. Like the difference is, you know, Daenerys did not lay down and just wait for someone else to kick her.
Right.
She with Khal Drogo dead, she basically just stepped up and went, all right, let's do this. And which is why, you know, the ending of the first book and the first season are so badass.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so in the book, because of, you know, what's left nebulous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So. But no, I that that episode seemed to have you sort of had the first two. I think it was the third episode. Yeah, the first two episodes, kind of the season getting its feet,
mm-hmm,
and reestablishing where everybody is.
Yeah.
And then with season three, shit starts happening.
Yeah.
And as I recall, shit's going to keep happening.
Forever.
Yes.
No, I well, really like the, I really like the Diana Rigg character. She is, and you know what? I like Varys. I've liked Varys from the get go.
Yeah.
Master of Spiders.
Well, that and Aidan Gillen as Littlefinger is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the problem is there's really not anybody in the cast that I look at and go, well, that's a shame you suck, you know?
Yeah.
They did really, really well in casting everybody.
Can I ask you something? Because Sonny doesn't recall any of this happening in the book. What the heck is going on with the other Rob?
Which Rob? What?
I don't know. I can't have a hard time keeping track of all the names. The Rob from the Iron Islands.
Rob from the Iron
Islands? The Rob that went in and destroyed Winterfell.
Theon.
Theon. Oh, what am I saying? I'm saying Rob.
Oh, he's been tortured.
Theon. Yes, you're right. What am I saying, Rob? That's
yeah. He is in a bad way.
But was that in the book or no?
Yes.
Because
except they showed more.
Except
Sonny right?
Can't seem to remember any of that going on. Yeah, Theon. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
They kind of make it amorphous in a way because they have to use him later on. Spoiler.
Well,
I imagine they wouldn't be showing this if he wasn't going to be used later for something. So,
well, I mean,
no, we're just going to keep doing interstitials of him being tortured throughout the next five seasons, and that's it.
Surprised. Roxy, I don't know how they're going to do that because obviously you could keep a little bit of surprise considering of the nature of the book,
mm-hmm,
that you can't do with the TV series. So they're probably just going to. Say to hell with it and just
this is not how it goes.
Not be mysterious about it.
It's like Hannibal. Here's the strange sausage. Yeah. No, I, you know.
They're gonna theme his own penis?
No, I like that episode a lot. And the next episode is really, really good too. I know you didn't see it, so.
Yeah, not yet. I
watched it right before we came on, so.
Well, you know, the other thing, are any of you guys watching Vice?
No.
Is that
the show that we saw? Is it the same guys? They have their own news show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they did their well. Basically, it's
they went to Chernobyl.
It started off as like a skater magazine, almost a zine, rocks.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And they just kept growing and growing and growing until. And part of what they did was they would go and do crazy stories that nobody else was covering, like in the Vice Guide to Travel, like Rox was saying, they went to Chernobyl to hunt radioactive boars, and they went to Afghanistan to the gun markets where they make guns by hand, you know.
They showed people making bullets. You can do this at home, people.
Making guns out of scrap metal.
Oh, that too. But
yeah,
you
guns that you couldn't tell the difference between that and a factory-made gun.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying, you know, what I mean is, by making bullets, the number one thing, you need ammunition, and you have like families making, you know, in caves making bullets.
Right.
It can be done, you know. So it could be done. So watch Vice. So when the zombie apocalypse comes, we can take cues from this show, you know, when we find out that we're out of ammunition. Instead of trying to find the next Walmart, we can just make our own.
Well, other stuff they did is they went to find the guy that on the Black Sea that you could buy a nuclear warhead from.
Yes.
And they went and met the Palestinian Cub Scouts. And that's the one where when they got back, they had the song that they were singing translated, and it was all like, oh, Israel will catch fire in the night and bleed out on the streets. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Oh, I could see that one.
Holy, oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, they're like, yeah, we didn't know what was happening until we got back and had it translated.
So what is their show? Now, that's on HBO, right?
It's on HBO. It's basically two stories a week, and it's the same sort of thing. They – let's see. They went to, I forget where, it's like Ghana or somewhere. I forget where. And met like child soldiers. And child suicide bombers who are basically being enlisted to blow themselves up, being told that, oh, well, the bomb that you're wearing, it doesn't blow backwards. It only blows forward. So you'll survive.
Oh my gosh.
It's fucked up. And what's that?
Kids are stupid.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't know, especially if you're being told by, you know, your authority figure. But no, I'm trying to. Where is it? The most recent one comes out every Friday, and I was trying to remember what this last one was. Oh, HBO, your site is so slow. Yes, they went to the border of India and Pakistan.
Oh, I did see that one, yes.
Yeah, which was fucked up.
Where he's standing on the bridge and he's like, you just put one foot over this little line and you will be shot.
Yeah.
There's snipers just sitting all through the mountains waiting for someone to step one step over.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty fucking crazy.
He went up to him and goes, this is about as close as I'm going to get.
Yeah. But I would love to interview Shane Smith and be able to say, what sort of travel insurance do you guys have?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And because you see this in like, what was it? It was when they went to North Korea in the Vice Guide to Everything that's online on their website. They went to North Korea and basically were under house arrest in the hotel and bribed their way out. But it's fucking crazy. Oh, that in the third episode was the one where they went to New Mexico and were showing the kids basically training to deal if somebody came in and started opening fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a private school where the principal and three of the teachers are armed. And they won't tell you which three teachers.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And they've had training, and they have like a – they're having an assembly in like the sanctuary. It's like a private religious school. And when the little kids went under the pews, all the older kids basically rush the guy and fucking take him down. Because it's, you know, here's what I really appreciated. It's because these guys are, you know, obviously very liberal-minded, and it's awesome, and what they do is really great, and I fucking love what they do. But they did not approach this school with a closed-minded sort of, well, you have guns and that's evil sort of bullshit. It literally was, they were sitting there going, it's sort of hard to argue with you, seeing as how what's going on right now.
Right.
You know? And especially when they showed, and again, they didn't have to provide any commentary on this, when they showed, like, the guy who's, like, representing the local police and then somebody from, like, the teachers' union, their arguments were just so completely lame and so devoid of reality, you know, that it blew my mind. So they didn't really have to provide any commentary. It's almost like when, you know, in Penn and Teller Bullshit, where they wouldn't even need to say anything. It would just be like, here he goes. But now I'm really enjoying the show, and I see that there's like extended stuff online, which I need to go check out.
Now, be careful. That could be a malware site.
What?
Oh, not that kind of extended. Oh, sorry. Extend. Never mind.
I don't understand what he's saying either.
I don't get it.
Scott's talking about, you can get this at Walgreens. It is called the pocket hose. The hose that extends. That's what he's talking about.
The pocket hose? What?
Oh my God, yes! Yes, look it up. It's, yes, as seen on TV. I saw it at Walgreens today. It's called pocket hose. It's a hose you could, that extends. It's a garden hose.
Okay.
But it's called the pocket hose. It's the weirdest thing.
Okay.
It fits in a pocket but grows to a full size hose. Yeah. For like $22.
How very odd.
It's called the pocket hose. Pocket hose. You can go to pockethose.com. Oh my God, and it's that guy from Home Improvement. Of course it is.
Tim Allen?
No, the other one. The slacker guy.
Oh.
We were laughing about that at work. It's like my coworker's like, yeah, I have one of those.
But what? So is this for providing irrigation in your pocket? I mean, why is it a pocket hose?
I don't know. Because it's all scrunchy. It's a scrunchy material. It's a pocket. It's, you know, which is weird. If it extends so long, you can get, if you buy one, you can get a second pocket hose free. Weird. Everyone's talking about it, so that's what we're doing. It's a lightweight, easy to store, turn on water, and watch it grow. It writes itself.
Can you get this on Amazon?
Yeah, I. You know what? I bet you can.
Hold on a second. Let me look it up.
Look it up. Look it up now, because we'll recommend it. Pocket hose. It's in this weird lime green. Anyway, it comes in four sizes. 25 feet, 50 feet, 75, and 100 feet. So I really do need 75 feet.
Yep. You can get it on Amazon.
Yep. What? Just don't get the squirty kind. Just don't get the squirty kind.
I'm having trouble understanding, Scott.
It's the pocket hose.
Yep.
Wait, allow me to translate. There's a thing.
It's a garden hose.
There's a thing called a pocket hose. You put it in your pocket, and it squirts people through your trousers. That's my understanding of what just happened.
Yeah, for a mere $12.99.
So it's kind of like the Joker's trick flower, but ruder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But secondary, you can irrigate your garden.
And by that, she means a vagina.
Oh, my God. We need to give this to Lee, since she's got zucchini in her garden.
Yes,
and by
she
that,
does.
She means penis.
Yeah. She needs a pocket hose for her zucchini.
I'm glad you guys are coming. It's going to be fun.
That.
What?
So, recommendations, which?
You can have it.
I just don't even know what's happening. I'm so lost.
That's okay. If you're lost, imagine how the listener feels.
Doesn't matter.
I would assume probably sort of soft and warm.
Or squishy.
I would tell you. I would
tell you. When water goes through it or any fluid, it extends.
I would tell you how the listener feels, but I have had a restraining order placed on me.
That's probably for the best.
Well, for the listener, sure.
As long as it's uncrinkled and everything and liquid can flow through, it will extend.
Out of context theater is your friend.
There you go. Yes.
There you go.
It's, available at Amazon. We can get a kickback on this.
I would share the link with you, Widge, but it seemed pointless.
Hose. Yeah, you can't see it.
That's true.
How's your computer doing, Widge? Computer update time.
Computer update, I don't know. I think I may have found the problem. I think my...
It's a Windows?
Video drivers are trying to...
Update?
Update and not being able to. So, of course, they crash, which is exactly what you would want them to do. So I'm trying to go in here and see if I can't solve that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So on... Forget that. Forget your computer. On Consumer Reports... This is their report. Even people who enjoy yard work complain about dealing with cumbersome garden hoses. So who wouldn't be interested in a hose that promises to eliminate
that
hassle?
Are we still talking about this fucking hose?
The fucking hose looks like an extra long hair scrunchie. And it does. It looks like something you would win at a fair. I'm not kidding. It really does. Just turn on the water and watch this mini hose grow and grow and grow to maximum length. Turn off the water and it goes right back to its mini size.
Wait.
And you know what? They gave it on the bottom line. Let's see. Drips aside, pocket hose works. And our tester found it to be aesthetically more desirable than its heavier, more cumbersome counterparts. One potential negative is the plastic connector parts and how long they'll last before breaking. Another negative for some people is you're supposed to disconnect the pocket hose and store it after each use to prolong its life. And you can't use it for pressure washing. Bottom line, the pocket hose cannot replace your traditional hose for everything, but it does work. On a scale of 1 to 4, our tester gave it to a 2.5 to 3. That's the middle of the list.
Hey, Widge.
Yeah.
I believe we have now officially covered every topic known to man. We can cancel the podcast.
Oh, I've got the topics if you need some.
What's that?
Got the topics if you need some.
He made a penis joke somewhere in there.
Desktop if I need some. What?
No. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I don't know what you just said there either. What is happening?
I'm going to be the second person that tweets this thing.
What? What are you tweeting now?
I'm tweeting about the pocket hose.
We're back on the hose again. More hose talk after
this.
We
haven't left the hose. There's no leaving the hose.
Oh,
don't get
God.
The squirty.
I fear it.
You should.
This is
the way to all gardens, you know.
And by that she means vagina.
First it's the pocket hose, and then it'll be the pocket hoe. Comes over and uses your pocket hose. Whatever.
The pocket hoe?
Yeah, the pocket
hose. The pocket hose.
Yeah, those are the urban farmers that come around.
That's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand it, but it sounds pretty amazing.
It's non sequitur type podcasting.
Well, do we do anything else?
They could. Sure, if you give them the right amount of incentive,
but,
sure.
I meant us, but, you know.
I guess.
Yes.
Oh, let's see. Oh, Scott, are you watching Mad Men?
Yeah.
Was it a yes? What was that?
Yes.
Okay, so they can't. They covered the. They're up to the Martin Luther King assassination. So you watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it's interesting that with that episode, a lot of white people feel like it's the apocalypse and the world is crumbling around them. And it's kind of funny that Peggy actually did the reach out and hug her colored secretary in a better way of, you know, trying to connect with, you know, such a racial situation where Joan really flubbed that one. She flubbed her sort of pathetic hug for Don's secretary, who is colored. Right, Scott?
Yeah.
It was almost cringeworthy.
Yeah, because the thing is, you know, Joan really didn't care. You know, it's not the same. She doesn't quite have same reception that Peggy has.
I hope somebody can understand Scott.
No, we can't. Not really.
Joan doesn't care. Bottom line.
I think it was, yeah, that summarizes what he said. Joan doesn't care.
Okay, good.
I think Joan is probably, she's, you know, it's sort of funny because if you see it as the way that Joan is an outsider and so is Don's secretary, it's sort of interesting that there's no no connection with two outsider type people. And the only reason she gave, you know, Don's secretary the crappy job of, you know, oh, okay, well, you can pay it. You can deal with the time cards and the storeroom just so she doesn't have to seem like a secretary anymore, you know, that she delegated some work. But it's kind of interesting when two outsiders really don't connect. I always find that an interesting conundrum, if you will. Scott, it was interesting in the thing with Henry bitching about Mayor Lindsay.
Oh God!
You can actually go online now. Apparently, what had happened in this after Martin Luther King was assassinated, all the big cities thought there would be these major riots, and one of the characters' husbands, Henry, has to go back into town, you know, to see what was going on. And he's kind of unhappy with the way Mayor Lindsay handled, you know, going up to Harlem. He sort of saw it as, you know, negotiating with thugs. Is that what he said? Something to that effect. But what in fact, when Mayor Lindsay got the word that Martin Luther King was assassinated, he was at a Broadway show. He left the show, went up to Harlem, and just talked to people. You know, I'm a mayor. I am trying to do what, and it's really cool. You can actually go online and see that footage. And in this episode, they actually used, I think, a lot more footage such as, you know, nightly news. They also had last week they had the broadcast of Johnny Carson talking about, it wasn't the Tet Offensive, what was that, it was something in Vietnam that he actually broke and talked about what was going on in Vietnam on the Tonight Show. So they're using a lot more footage.
There's probably a lot more TV.
There is. Well, yeah, when you consider what's his name was bitching about, you know, news being bumped into Bewitched.
Yeah, because
Harry Crane.
The client wants their money back instead of getting, you know, because their ads aren't showing their money back instead. So it's like because they're being preempted by the news.
Right. And it's kind
of,
well, yeah, basically somebody made a play that it was also an episode about real estate. And Harry saw that as an impinging on his real estate, which is airtime. That if this was going to happen, especially at this time period where people were doling out in a new new technology of TV, you know, of making ads and stuff for television, that if you have big news stuff, it's going to impinge on your airtime that you just spent tons of money on. So He sees that. I sort of thought it was funny that, you know, if anyone came out trying to be the bigger person was Pete.
Yeah.
I'm for the people. It's, you just wanted to smack him. So, but it was a good episode considering when they handled the JFK assassination, that was almost towards the end of the season anyway. So here we're smack dab in the middle of the season and they're dealing with a major.
It was the season finale, which I thought was a nice touch. Didn't close with this.
No, but they dealt with that really quietly. The whole JFK thing was relatively quiet on a whole.
Well, to forget, I mean, it was.
I mean, here, when you consider the race relationship and all the white people are really scared, you know, and some of them are internalizing, and, you know, you got Peggy or Betty, you know, she won't even let her kids watch TV. It's almost like they're in this bunker, if you will, in the kitchen, and they're
funny because they've been watching all the Vietnam stuff and everything, and it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like it's too late, Peggy. The horses have left the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, your sound is almost completely unbearable.
Just sigh.
God damn it!
What I love is the fact that Rox is just answering to everything that you say. Right.
No, I kind of get what he's... I'm trying to translate, so...
Rob's here.
Hey, Rob!
Hello.
All right, give us your Iron Man report.
Well, I won't say much, just because I don't want to blow it. Ben Kingsley's really good.
Yeah?
Which I know is a no-brainer, but it's finally... They finally gave Ben Kingsley a movie where... You get to see both Ben Kingsleys in one movie. They're really, like, serious Shakespearean Kingsley and then the, like, almost Peter Sellers-ish.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the fully clothed and the naked Ben Kingsley. That's what I was hoping for.
No.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for putting that in my head. I did not
You're welcome.
Think of that. Fucker. I should tell you how it ends. No, it's nice. I mean,
I bet you he almost dies and then he comes back and wins. There is that. Loaded. It is a hero movie. Superhero
yeah.
movie.
And they, you know, it's a bit of a twist. It's not the movie when you go into it, you have a certain expectation, but it's not the movie you think you're going to get, but it's still okay. And obviously, Stacey the Credits.
And obviously what?
Stacey the Credits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little different tone to the end of the credits, but stay with them. And no Samuel Jackson.
It sounds like you have someone there with you.
Yeah, I'm on my way home.
Oh.
Yeah.
You normally have someone with you when you're on your way home?
Yeah, well, if I'm, you know, don't you when you do the way homers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just made it sound like completely normal. Not saying it's abnormal, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. But yeah, no, that's it.
So did you like it or not? On a scale of 1 to 10?
I did like it, but I don't want to ruin it for everybody by talking too much. Yes.
Yeah,
well, Aaron already talked about it earlier in the podcast, so.
Yeah, he already told us that it was shit and we should all stay away.
Well, I'll take the higher road and just tell you that it's got a lot of action in it. Yes, you have to suspend some disbelief.
No, Aaron really did hate it. Aaron literally hated it.
Well, you know, he just upset that there weren't any Irish in it.
Not even Irish Magneto.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, it's probably good that it's the third one. It's much better than the second. I don't think it's as good as the first one, but I think it's better than the second. So, you know, I mean, I just didn't... The villain was better. And Guy Pearce is really creepy, so...
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Yep.
Were there gaping plot holes in your mind?
No, in the film, yeah. In your mind, not just in your mind.
Yes, but that's okay, because it's a popcorn movie. I mean, if you think about it long enough, yes, but that's okay. There are some sort of outlandish and strange parts, but that's okay. And it's funnier than the other ones have been, too. They were sort of going for a different tone, kind of, I think, than they have with the other two, so.
Well, there you go.
How was the soundtrack?
Yeah. The soundtrack isn't at the forefront as much as the first two. You don't hear the Iron Man song in it.
No, there's
like a weird mosh pit thing with like two or three original songs in it. So yeah, so it's pretty standard. They probably want to pay as few people as possible.
Nice.
So yeah.
Well, they've got two soundtracks. So
yeah, we'll do that. I think they're doing the London Symphony did the score, and then there's like an Eiffel 65 mashup of Christmas songs and like some beats under it. So, and I think that has the shortest Stanley cameo ever in it. So if you blink, you miss it. So there you
go. The trick is not to blink.
Don't get me started on that.
Okay. Oh, a Doctor Who reference, yes.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, we're all falling apart tonight.
Sorry, did I miss anything?
I haven't been taking notes because I've been watching my machine sort of die. So.
Oh.
There's a lot of talk of growing hoses. Hoses that grow.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
Yeah, Rob, you can buy the pocket hose for your apartment.
That's okay.
Because, you know.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
I'm surprised it's taken you this long to use that.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
It is indeed.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh my.
The voice is going. Sorry.
Let's see. We talked about Game of Thrones.
Yes. We talked about Doctor Who.
Talked about The Following.
Yep. Talked about Vice and talked about Vicious.
Did anyone like Doctor Who this week?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
I thought there was nice bits in it.
We talked about the inability to understand a single thing that Scott is saying.
Yeah. Except for that, Scott. I told. What you need to do is perfect your sigh into Morse code.
Yeah, I thought Scott would be out like Margaret Thatcher's circus right now.
Well, I mean, he is. He's calling from
the grave.
I think you're in Biloxi this week, right?
That skills.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you just said.
Either said Daffodil or Nashville.
Did you say Python balls?
He said
pussy.
What?
Pussy.
See, we don't know. We don't know what Scott's saying.
I regret nothing.
Wow.
This is like. I mean, normally we don't understand what Scott's saying, but now we just can't hear what Scott's saying.
Yes.
Very true. So what you need to do is you need to let... Oh, dear God.
Rock lobster.
See? It's a little like rock lobster. Scott, did you learn nothing from what I said? You should have just sighed.
Yeah, could he get a do-over on that? I don't know.
Sigh lobster.
Make it work, Scott.
Oh, that was amazing.
Hey, Ross?
Yes.
Please note for the time capsule that that was the worst Rock Lobster ever.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that was exciting. I feel like that has opened up all of my chakras.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Especially Chakra Khan.
Chakra Khan? Chakra Khan?
It's better than Shaka from Land of the Lost. I mean, that would be worse.
That's true. That's very true. So yes, the exciting world of now updating graphics drivers, folks. Let's hope this works.
Does God have a sleep that costume to go out and greet the kids in?
Does he have a Gleek costume?
No, does he have a Fleestack costume that he dresses up
in? Oh!
Miscommunications everywhere.
I know. It's like, this podcast is the worst game of telephone ever.
telephone.
I just have a horrible cold and my voice is coming and going.
Yeah, this was going on well before you got on the call, though.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how the hell I'm going to present a paper this week if I can't talk, but we'll see.
I thought I heard boob.
You did. It was me talking.
So, was Lee on the podcast?
Lee was on the podcast.
She ran.
How was her birthday?
Oh, I forgot to say happy birthday. Oh, my God. I forgot.
Okay.
Can't follow. Oh my God, this is awful.
There we go. So, Rox, have you ever heard of this artist named Jeremy Devin or Devlin? Jeremy Deller. I'm sorry. Brain gone.
No.
Okay, I'll send you his stuff later. But amongst the things that he does is he makes these shirts. These like custom-made shirts. So I had a custom one made for Lee that says my booze hell on it.
Oh, wow. Letters. Cool. Yeah, no, send me a link in an email. Cool.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool stuff. So.
Very nice.
He's no Rocks, but, you know.
It's true.
And I thought it was very nice of you to lend your wax cylinder so that they could get Graham Bell's voice off of it. That was very nice of you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm here to help.
I mean, I'm sorry. That was fucking awesome. I was listening to Alexander Graham Bell on my smartphone and just marveling at it. You know?
It's great.
Somebody should remix that.
Oh, I know.
I'm sure it's having dubstep Alexander Graham Bell.
Now, you can find a lot of stuff, really kind of really cool stuff on, what is it, the Internet Archive?
Archive.org, yeah.
Yeah, I love that site. Love that site. There's a cool video. It's a silent video of, like, the Lower East Side of New York. And it's a bunch of Jewish vendors, and it's like 1916 or something, and it's the coolest thing. You know, it's just, you can find some really cool stuff there.
This is true.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So Rob, two questions. We both had a great appreciation for Oblivion, it turns out. I know that wasn't really a question, but I was just sort of throwing it out there.
Rob,
you there?
Did we lose Rob?
Rob.
The mention of Oblivion made him run away.
Pushed him into
Oblivion.
What?
Do I sound better?
The answer is no. I don't know what the question is, but it's no. I think it's safe with you to always say no.
God damn it.
Just say
Nancy
no
Reagan
to Scott.
Would agree with you, John. You know what, John? I watched that episode of Different Strokes, and I know for a fact Nancy Reagan would agree with you.
Just say no.
Several times a day and at random. Well, until Rob gets, I was going to mention Oblivion since we both appreciated it so much. It was shite. and see if he'd seen Vicious. But while we're waiting for him to reemerge, if he does, or maybe his voice has gone out and he's talking to us right now, but we can't hear him. Maybe he's talking to us at a pitch so high that maybe Cora could hear him. I don't know. We could get started on some recommendations. So we should mosey that direction into the dusty chamber of recommendations. Who wants to go first?
Oh my gosh, I want this.
Okay, that would be rocks.
Okay, I was just flicking on Flipboard. If you guys don't have your, you know, smartphone and stuff, this is a great app.
Flipboard's great. And Flipboard, there's a Need Coffee Flipboard.
Yes, there is. So, you know, subscribe to that chat, you know, that page. Anyway, a cute little printer makes a newsletter from your smartphone. So you can make like a little newsletter for Need Coffee. Can make a little, it's really cute. It's really cute. Cute little printer. It's lost at eMiner. That's the site I saw it on. It's really cute. I think it's all thermo. It's cute. Make a little newsletter. Really tiny. Okay, so my pick of the week is the other day I watched It Came from Outer Space. This is a really cool film. It was on TCM, and you can get it on Amazon. It is, I think, officially Ray Bradbury's first screenplay. It was based on his story, and they loved the story. Actually, he wrote two stories for Universal, and he did the typical, you know, aliens take over, and then he did something a little different. But it was really cool that they're like, yes, we really love this, but what he did was he also turned in a 90-page script. And basically, they fired him. They paid him the money, but they turned the script over to somebody else who just thought this was fine and just sort of added to it. The cool thing is, it's not your typical 1950s, you know, alien invasion story. There's a big, really cool ending. It's more Star Trek than anything else. The cool thing about this, some of the, you know, special effects are hokey. It was shot in 3D, so, you know, it's hokey that way. But there are traces. If you're a big Bradbury fan, there are snippets that are true Bradbury dialogue, you know, of him. Nice. It's been so many years since I saw this film. I saw this film, like, first time was, like, when I was a kid. So here I am seeing it, you know, later on. And it's like, oh my, you know, here's a lineman, you know, guy working on a telephone wire. And all of a sudden he does this little, you know, dialogue of, you know, what is out there, you know, of what you would get from a Ray Bradbury story when they're internalizing. And it's, there are these snippets that are really great. So watch this film if you are a Ray Bradbury fan, and you can get it on Amazon. It came from outer space. And the acting, oh, apparently Barbara Rush got a Golden Globe for her part in this film as an up-and-coming, you know, actress. So the acting in this is not bad. Like I said, there are some really, you know, Ray Bradbury gold. And the ending is really neat. It's so unlike, you know, your typical horror, alien, sci-fi, you know, ending. So check that out. Also, for you people, since I'm staying on the Bradbury thing, people with Kindles, I know fans of Ray Bradbury, you could now get 16 of his titles as ebooks. So they are now being offered. There's a myriad of them. There's no rhyme or reason of what they kind of chose. It's like Medicine for Melancholy, Let's All Kill Constance. So check it out. There's a list. So if you don't want to cart around your Bradbury paperbacks, you can get them on a Kindle. I am also, one more, I am reading, listening to, because I'm still in the middle of Carter Beats the Devil, still reading that. But I am into, what is it? David Sedaris's, I'm listening to the audiobook, Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. If you're a fan of David Sedaris, which I am, even though some of the books are a little less than others, this one's on par with Me Talk Pretty One Day. It's sort of the stuff you expect, his quirkiness. The first story is him wanting to buy a stuffed owl, of which, just so you know, in the United States, it is illegal to own a stuffed owl. They're endangered, and they're just illegal to own even when they're dead.
Stuffed owls are endangered?
Yes, they are, because you can't get them. They're illegal. So, they, yes, in effect, they are, you know, they're endangered. So in England, you can actually buy stuffed owls as long as they died of natural causes. The story, he goes to this taxidermist, and for some reason, this taxidermist can size David Sedaris up enough to know that I can show David this mummified arm of a sailor who lost this arm in a barroom fight, and my grandfather mummified this, and a pygmy head of this young girl. You know, that it's an interest, it's a David Sedaris story. I wouldn't say it's any good, you know, it's on par with his other stuff. And I'm listening to the audiobook where he's actually narrating all of the stuff, and there's actually a couple live tracks that he does in front of an audience. As we all know, certain authors shouldn't read their work. David and John Waters are, I would say, amongst the ones that can do their work, you know, read their own work. Stephen King, not so much, but if
it depends.
Yeah, it does depend, but on a whole, I've never really been impressed with Stephen King doing it. There's something about his voice. It just, you know.
Yeah.
Other people can read his work really well. But if you want something to kill for a couple hours, you know, and you're doing the audio thing, then Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. And I am done.
Oh, you are?
I'm done. Yes.
You sure?
And Rox?
Yes.
We will have a signed Sedaris book for the Fun Fest.
Yay!
Nice.
Rox will make sure it never gets out there.
That's why I'm going to give it to Wage.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, cool. Thank you, Rox.
Who's next? For the people of the Fun Fest, I'll touch it for you, too. You know, so.
Are we talking about the book or something else?
Yes, I mean the book.
Okay.
And then, you know, it'll be extra special.
Well, right, can you touch it and then touch the book? Then it'll make it extra.
We'll see.
All right. Scott, go.
Well, I don't know. Can you understand me?
No. I can now.
Try.
Speak quickly.
Do it slow.
Make up your mind. Okay. Book I just finished. It's called Those Angry Days, Roosevelt, Lindbergh, and America's Fight Over World War II. Essentially, you know how we're sort of taught in high school history that, you know, they don't really talk about how America sort of go from the Depression to World War II and nothing really in between?
No, I mean, I went to school in Alabama, so we barely talked about World War II. So.
Well, yeah. But this book shows from 1939 to 1941 how divided America was about the war.
Oh, yeah. And
people, well, I mean.
There were a lot of people that didn't want to be in it.
Yeah, but the big leader of that was Charles Lindbergh.
Because he was a Nazi sympathizer.
Well, they talk about
that. Am I wrong? No.
No, I'm not going to argue with villainous. But. It is interesting how the thing is, it does very balanced view, because a lot of the isolationists some of their reasonings did make sense at the time. I mean, it wasn't, they didn't know if England was going to make it, and they didn't want to give aid to England, or it was just going to end up the Nazis anyway when they took over. And stuff like that. And the vitriol people had to, you know, they would accuse people of being, you know, in love with England and the and be, have empire and being, you know, FDR the dictator. And then other people would accuse the isolationists of being, you know, Nazis and, you know, all this stuff. It's just.
Scott, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. In the book, does it talk on how the Nazis take the idea of American eugenics to Germany? Does it talk about that?
It talks about it a little.
I mean, because, okay.
Well,
go ahead.
No, what they talk about is how eugenics did start here, mm-hmm. and how it was even at the time still somewhat of a plausible idea for a lot of people. And it talks about, and also things like, you know, how anti-Semitism was, you know, a pretty big thing here. And how, you know, that's why Roosevelt was so cautious a lot of the time when trying to suggest going to war, because he wasn't really sure if the American people would go for it. But it did talk about how eugenics was used by, you know, it was how there were similarities between, mm-hmm. You know, how a lot of people thought about eugenics and how the Nazis, their stuff, and a lot of them thought, you know, why are we fighting? And that was the thing with Lindbergh. He said, you know, we shouldn't be fighting amongst ourselves. We should be fighting against Russia. Because, you know, they've got all those Mongol blood intermingling. So, you know, all us white people need to fight Russia.
Really?
We should be fighting ourselves. We should be fighting Russia. Yeah, Limbaugh. Not Limbaugh.
Well, maybe him too.
Yeah. Lindbergh had some very interesting ideas, and he was so politically naive, he just didn't get it. So it's a very interesting book about a time where you don't really think about it because, you know, most of the time you just rush to getting to the war and, you know, explosions and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's interesting reading this and looking at some of the other things that we've gone through, you know, our conflicts with, you know, the debate over the Vietnam War and Iraq and everything. And it's just, it's interesting to note that even if it was supposedly the good war of World War II. And actually have some interesting arguments about it. So it's a very interesting book. You should definitely pick it up. And I'm going to stop while the getting's good. So I didn't do it, god damn it. On the dong. Thank you. Unlike John, I don't have a problem with being premature.
Wow.
Stop that.
As we learn something new each week.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, Ross, you really should put all of Scott's weird sayings into a zine. We could sell those.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right. Rob, what have you got?
All right. Bridge, I know it's not you, but when I find out who it is, they're in trouble.
Okay. What happened?
I'm talking to you, Lee.
Uh-oh.
Someone from a Georgia address, I might add, which exonerates Rock, because Rock should think of something far more clever, sent me the Essential Village People on CD.
Ha! Huh?
Okay, I didn't do it.
I know. But I'm going to find out who did. And then they're going to get the Pat Boone Metal album. So, yeah. That's
oh,
all
come
I'm saying.
On. That's a bit extreme. Yeah.
Have you not heard the Pat Boone Metal album?
It's awesome. Don't want
I'm
to.
Actually going to recommend the Pat Boone Heavy Metal album.
Oh, fuck.
It's not as great as the Christopher Lee Metal album. But
or the Ethel Merman Disco album.
The Ethel Merman Disco album is is high art, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading a book on Ethel Merman right now, and it talks about the recording of that album, and it's so sad. It just makes you sad when you think about it.
Really?
Yeah, because she needed the money so bad that she made it, you know. So that breaks your heart. Anyway, so recommendations. I didn't mean to ramble on more than normal. I do want to recommend, I know they showed Tom Baker on BBC America this week, but if you haven't, if you're in the small cave of people that have never seen Tom Baker as the Doctor, I would strongly, strongly recommend, outside of seeing Pyramids of Mars, which is great, but I think Rox will be with me on this, and probably Tuffy. The Talons of Wang Chiang.
Oh my God, I love that one.
It's my favorite of all the Tom Baker stories.
Yeah.
And it's just great. I mean, it does so many really wonderful things. It is a period drama. It's a science fiction story, but it's also like this very dry British comedy. It says an awful lot about sort of like, you know, class and, stature and social abilities and things like that. So I do want to recommend that because it was actually pretty great, and it was far far better than I expected. And then also this week in the I Feel Old category marks the 25th anniversary of the release of Combat Rock by The Clash, so I do want to recommend that. Not necessarily the finest of all the Clash records, but still, when you go back and you listen to it a little more, it's still pretty great. So yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, Rob, look into the New York Times, and I posted this on Twitter. They had a really cool article about the Mets punk exhibit coming up in May. Yes.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I'm going to be in New York too. I'm going to try to go to it.
Oh, cool.
Because yeah, when I was in DC, they had a whole history at a thing at the Corcoran on the history of DC punks. So they had a whole bunch of like Fugazi and Minor Threat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this artist that you probably, well, it's probably you anyway, this graffiti artist named Disco Dan.
Yeah.
Out of DC. Yeah. That, well, you're Banksy, you know him. But they had a whole bunch of Disco Dan graffiti art. And that was really cool too. So.
Cool.
But yeah, I saw that. That's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure how to take this whole punk is cool art.
Well, actually, they did a cool thing in the New York Times. They talked about how they're, especially with punk and the clothing, like they showed the photo, the pinup that Deborah Harry did with the Vultures t-shirt.
Yeah.
She kind of came up with that outfit. They were talking about the whole DIY, you know.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, it's like when you consider, you know, almost anybody and their brothers can wear a Ramones t-shirt now. It's like, no, when you consider back then, or even when I was, you know, dabbling in it, you made up your own stuff that, you know, a lot of bad, you know, or design, you know, bad designs and stuff. A lot of them, you know, either had people make it or, you know, their friends, because I know like they, like Deborah Harry explained for the article, it's like, yeah, that t-shirt was Chris's. It was his like high school t-shirt. And like the leather bikinis were from her landlord. And then she had this leather belt and stuff. And she's like, yeah, I just wanted to do this really cool pinup type photo. So she came up with this really cool kind of iconic, you know, design and photo, and basically a lot of these people came up with their own looks. It's like the Heartbreakers with the gunshot shirts and stuff, you know, with the blood splatter. The Heartbreakers. They list them in it. So the idea is because of the Met's costume department and exhibit area, they're using really punk as a springboard of, you know, other designers have taken cues in the fashion world. You know, here are a bunch of DIY kids, which pretty much even Warhol, you know, latched onto some of them too, you know, because these are people who are making their own art. And it was a lot. you know, especially when you consider zines, you know, the amount of zines that came out of that time period, yep. you know, that there was a lot of DIY creativity going on in a time where people are like, you know, we're against the, you know, establishment and stuff. So to me, this is like a really cool, you know, important exhibit, I think, you know,
or a lot of discussion for it. And I think it's cool that that particular era, sort of the 70s, has sort of been thrown away culturally as not really having art that's not disposable or permanent. And right. I think people are re-examining punk as sort of like, this was more of a social and cultural music movement than a musical one.
Yeah.
That sort of, and it eventually became a sort of an artistic movement as well.
Yeah.
And as everything comes back again, we're starting to see sort of punk coming back into the art mainstream in terms of like how bands are looking and dressing these days. And
well,
all
I like the
too.
Fact that it almost really never went away.
Yeah.
Because it's always been under,
but it did
you know,
become kind of tired looking.
Yeah.
You're right, though.
Yeah.
In the hands of the wrong people, it looks really terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hands, yes. You're correct. You know, that's why some of us grow older and just change into steampunk. There you go. Just because the clothing is a little, which is funny because it's so, you know, people will explain all the time, you know, when they ask about what steampunk is, it's, you know, when you consider punk, you're doing your own DIY type clothing and stuff. A lot of people that cobble their own costumes and stuff, you know, they cobble it. You know, it's like bits and pieces here. So they make up their own stuff. Same thing with, you know, punk, you know, from the get-go. So it's a very important thing for all the other subgenres to pop up. And that includes cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but just the word punk sort of.
Yeah.
In and of itself. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really cool hardback book out now of, like, all the artwork from the that old punk scene, just called Punk.
Mm-hmm.
They published a hardback book of all their stuff.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's really great.
Cool. Anyway, I think we're done.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And that ends this Dragon Con panel of Punk.
The Life and Times of Punk.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right, so, Rob, was that all your stuff?
Oh, yeah, I was done.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, well, John, what have you got?
Django Unchained, buy it. Done.
Oh, what are the bonus bits?
What are the bonus bits?
Yeah, what did you get on it?
Extra racism. I don't know. I haven't gotten mine yet.
Oh,
I just now learned just a minute ago that it was out on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
You don't think I actually prepare for these things, do you?
Well, no, but I thought you guys like loved that movie so much, I could see you like already owning it.
Well, buy that and 21 Jump Street and watch them both.
Back to back. As a twofer.
Yes. Because they go well together.
Yes.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it, because, you know, we don't want people to be misinformed.
Or uninformed.
Or...
See, misinformed would imply that you informed them of something and it was wrong.
Or re-informed.
Right. Or malformed.
Yes. Much like most of this podcast.
Yes, much like myself. All right. Well, while you are looking that up, I will cut to the chase and say that... Everything that I was going to recommend is on my desktop, which is currently down as I'm trying to see now what's happening. So hopefully we'll have that fixed by the time we have another Weekend Justice. But of course, one of the ways that you can help fund replacing this thing, God love it, hey, it was state of the art when I bought it, would be to remember this link. Go to needcoffee.com/Amazon. Whenever you're going to go buy Amazon, we don't necessarily say, hey, invent something to go buy. I mean, if you're going to do that and you have that sort of money, adopt me. But I mean, beyond that, if you're going to buy stuff from Amazon anyway, go to needcoffee.com/Amazon or use the search space there on the right-hand side of the Need Coffee site. And you're buying the same stuff from the same site. The difference is that we get some kickbacks and it goes to help keep the lights on. So we appreciate that in advance. And of course, if you
if you need, if you feel like throwing some money my way so I can hopefully figure out what the hell's going on with this thing and maybe get a Way Homer done this Friday since Iron Man's out, then go to needcoffee.com/support. That would be helpful too. Yes. So,
nothing.
I think,
Wage, I have a report back from the special features category.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing on the special features, really.
Really?
Yeah, reimagining the spaghetti western, the horses and stunts of Django Unchained, remembering J. Michael Riva, the production design of Django Unchained, costume designs of Sharon Davis, 20 years in the making, the Tarantino XX Blu-ray collection, and Django Unchained soundtrack spot. Basically nothing.
There you go.
But the movie itself is worth it, so screw it, buy it. And buy it through needcoffee.com/Amazon.
There you go. So, on that bombshell, that brings us to the end of another rollicking episode of Weekend Justice. And I think, you know, just like every week on Weekend Justice, I think this is the moment when we all sort of stand around and look at each other. And in the words of the immortal Scott C., we should say to each other, ho, ho, ho.
Okay, seriously, any advice on what I'm doing wrong that's making me sound like a retarded robot?
I don't know.
What
kind of bandwidth you have? What kind of?
I have like
do you have mid range? Do you have like
decent.
I'm so cheap that
it's pretty decent. It's not cheap, no.
Where's the connector of the internet to where your computer is? I mean, what's the distance?
It's like right here. It's like a couple, like.
Where's your router? The router.
It's like right here.
I want more.
Shut up,
more
John.
Rocks TikTok.
Jeez. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm trying to help.
Where's that thing it plugs
Where's
in?
That thing?
You know?
All right, wait a minute. Where the internet comes into your house, how far is it from your room to your computer? Shut up.
You are aware it is traveling at the speed of light, correct?
This is tech support with Roxy Spazout.
I don't know if any of you would remember, but does anybody remember?
You've never been at your house.
No. Did I have the new computer?
I don't know.
Get on the podcast?
What?
Huh?
What?
I got this computer, like, I got a new computer a few months ago. I'm
what
trying
are you
to
using?
I...
He's using a Tandy.
Oh, my God. What are you using right now?
Oh, you don't want to answer. No, don't answer that, Scott. Don't answer
Scott,
that.
What computer are you using right now?
Oh,
it's
good
my
thing.
Desktop.
Do you do
how
everything on your desktop?
How many applications? All right. How many programs do you have open now?
Hardly anything.
It's hardly anything. Do you know what? This one woman the other day at a meeting wanted me to help her with her computer to get a file off. She had like a bazillion things open. I'm like, no wonder you can't find anything. Every time I touch it, it's like something else pops open. How much? You said hardly anything. You should only have Skype on. Shut up, John.
That's awesome. I love it. But she is correct.
Scott, you know, I thought of something. What color is the wall behind where the computer is sitting?
Are you wearing a tinfoil hat?
Except for the stains, it's white.
Oh, God, Scott. All right, that's enough. Scott brought up stains. Time to go. We need to go.
Are we going?
We're going because he brought
I'm
up
sweating.
Stains.
There you go.
Oh, God.
All right. I must run away
up.
And see if I can't figure out what the fuck's happening.
And I'll try to figure out what the fuck's
Wish
happening.
Wish me luck. And for the record, the wall behind my computer is there is no wall. It's just sort of out in the middle of the room.
No.
Maybe that's
Oh, that's
problem.
A problem. You need to move it a little bit more to the left.
Yeah.
You know what, John?
you told me that I should consult Feng Shui before I set up my office, and I should have listened to you, and I'm sorry.
You know, Widge, having your computer next to the wall where they shot the Romanovs, that might help.
You know what, Rox? I am so happy that you gave me that wall for Easter last year.
You're welcome.
I'm glad she gave it to you for Easter of all holidays.
I know. Mm. Well, that's Rox, you know. She's big on the random gifts at random times.
There you go.
You should have seen what she got me for Arbor Day back in 2002.
I mean, that wall really is about rebirth, right?
And eggs. And chocolate.
Well, they do have those Fabergé eggs, right?
Not the dead Romanovs, no.
Well, they did. Well,
probably.
Maybe. No band, the Dead Romanovs. That would be a cool band name.
It probably is. There's been about dead everything.
You're going to start a new band list?
No.
Fuck no.
Rob left. I'm going.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
I'm glad you guys are coming. It's going to be fun.
What?